away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
No, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker. Yeah.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in progress. Tom Casale here with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. No Fred Kirsch today. He's been at MIA the last couple of days from everything we've done. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Big news going around here. Don Shula, everyone's all in an uproar about it. That senile old bat making some remarks that Patriots fans don't like.
So basically what Mike Vrabel said about it.
So,
to paraphrase,
some former coach and a bunch of washed-up players. That was my favorite part of the quote.
So, what do you guys think about the Shula comments? Andy, why don't you go ahead and say what Shula said and do all that?
Well, he was asked a direct comment about Spygate, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but he does think there should be an asterisk that calls into question the season because of the cheating, and that basically created an uproar, and now every Mike Vrabel and all the other Patriots are ripping Don Shula for apparently he's not allowed to have opinions on topics. I'm sure most people probably saw the Vrabel comments because they were on Mike Felger's show here locally, but were picked up by SportsCenter, who ran them this morning. I just think it's funny. Just because their coach, Bill Belichick, chooses not to have an opinion on anything and not voice his opinion as a public person on anything, everybody else is not allowed to, I guess. You know, if he had said the Patriots are great, everybody would have, you know, Don Shula would be okay. But because he had an opinion that was contrary to Patriots Nation, now he's dead to everyone.
And I don't think any of us thinks there should be any asterisk or anything like that. So we're not necessarily agreeing with Shula, but I kind of agree with Andy. I think we determine whether or not we think other guys know what they're talking about based on whether or not they agree with our point of view.
Right. And
obviously, we all don't agree with Don Shula's point of view. We talked about this a lot
yesterday.
I think
they're all buffoons.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot yesterday.
They're buffoons with opinions.
The Miami thing is all about the Dolphins' perfect season in 72. All the players, save for Jim Mandich, who Tom brought up yesterday, who is the only seemingly only level-headed one of the bunch, they're all...
Well, there's probably... I mean, how many... There were 45 members of that team, and it's you get a limited sampling of the ones that do the whole champagne and all that. There's probably 20 guys who don't care.
I'll say he's one of three that don't care, and the other, because the other 42 have been quoted.
Come on, all 42 of them?
No, I just think that they care too much about this record as in general. The Greasies, the Bonacanis, we ran down all the names
right.
that are all, you know, Zonka, Kick, Morris, all these guys that seem to be...
I'd Zonka, Kick, Morris.
that seem to be quoted every year. I don't understand why, you know, it's so important to them, but it is. And, you know, I don't agree with it, but, you know, it's predictable the reaction of the fans everywhere you know and around Patriots. What I thought was interesting is that the Patriots responded to it, and Bruschi, I thought, had a good quote about you know, if someone attacked or wondered about your integrity or attacked your integrity, would you care about it? If they had questions about how you went about your business, Yeah. And he admitted it upset him. And I like that. It was a good quote. Vrabel, as Andy talked about.
Are there really questions about how they went about their business?
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
Sort of fact now, right?
Well, I'm just saying.
They were taping defensive signals, though. That's fact. There's no one questioning how they went about their business.
Right.
It's fact.
Right. But I think
there are certain things that are facts in this situation.
Sure. But I think the question is, how much did that have to do with them winning?
And well, that's
I think
the question.
That's what the players are
but I thought
taking umbrage with.
Tim Fox, former Patriots safety, actually had the best take on it because he agreed with us. See, if the Patriots fans can do it, I can do it. He said, it's ridiculous that this season should be called into question because on all appearances, they've stopped being able to do what they did, if you believe the league. Because not only were they told to stop it and fine, but they supposedly turned in their files, which had whatever past history of video and everything that they had, you know, accumulated over the years. So in theory, this is a clean season. He said, if you want to call into question, it's the previous three Super Bowls that you would call into question because we know that they were doing this practice back then and gaining some sort of advantage, likely.
All right, well, I got to stop you guys from being negative. People are chiming in. Victor says, hey, guys, I downloaded the Monday show. I listen to you guys all the time.
We're not on Monday.
But I got to tell you, Paul and Andy sure know how to annoy Patriots fans. First you talk how the Colts were missing players and how things could have been different. Then the bad refereeing comes, but Andy chimes in and says, you can't use that as an excuse. What's the charade about being neutral? Isn't this Patriots.com? We don't give a rat's behind about the other team's perspective. If I wanted to hear excuses about why the Colts are a good team, I'd go to Colts.com.
So go ahead.
I'm just telling you what the people are saying, Andy.
Go ahead. Go to Colts.com. Go to YouSuck.com. I couldn't care less.
But there's one thing about this game that hasn't been talked about, and I got something to say. Everyone's talking about special teams, blah, 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 and everyone is leaving out the main factor in this game. Ray Bubba Ventrone, activated for this game. Like I said, Andy Hart says he would never play a down in the NFL. No one's emailing about it. No one's writing about it.
No one cares.
Brandon Merriweather was the secret weapon. Yet,
no, I said I heard rumors.
You said Brandon Merriweather, but after the game, who's the first guy Bill fist pumps with?
Well,
Ray Bubba Ventrone.
Well, he was pushing him out of the way to hug other players that actually played a role in the game.
In all fairness, he has yet to play a down in the NFL.
No, I thought he was on special teams.
Right, that's not a down.
That doesn't count?
Oh, it is. It's fourth down.
You see a look on his face. It's
and
like
he was actually questioning for it. He goes, that's not a down?
But it's like
was that an undown down?
But it's like I took away his Christmas Rudy, presents. This look on his face was like, that's not a down?
I think the best part was, came out yesterday in Matt Light's interview on Felger, that Ray Ventrone played Dwight Freeney last week in practice.
Jack of all trades.
And what happened? The tackles were getting beat like rented mules early when it wasn't really Ray Ventrone across the line.
You can't help that Matt Light and Kazier can't block. But you should have seen the looks on our face in the plane when Ventrone went walking by. And if, I think for a second we were stunned. Then you go, wait, was he activated?
Not to mention the Will Smith lines in the side
of
his head.
Yeah, I think Hobbs or Harrison gave him that. I'll talk to him next week. I'll get to the bottom of all
this.
You
do that if he's
still
here.
Before that, we have Matt from Toronto on the phone, who works for the third-place Toronto Blue Jays with no hope of ever winning the division. What's going on, Matt?
How's it going, boys?
Good.
Nice little quote there.
What are you up to?
Two things I want to talk to you about. This whole 16-0 and Don Shula. Didn't Don Shula only win 14 games so in this regular season?
That's
so
correct.
So shouldn't they have an asterisk?
Why?
Because we won 16 if we win 16.
16 would
it's
be two more
like
than
the
14.
Whole thing
but
with Roger Maris when he broke Babe Ruth's record.
Yeah.
He had the more games, and they were talking about, well, if Roger Maris should get an asterisk.
And he shouldn't have.
No,
and he didn't.
They took it away.
But I was just kind of like my little point. Also, I want to talk to you about the whole thing with Bill Polian in the press box.
Oh, embarrassing.
And from dealing with baseball press box, there's no chat. Well, there's chatter, but there's no hooting or hauling. I mean, doesn't this guy just make a mockery of like the kind of press box?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was terrible in every unprofessional way that you can come up with. He violated. Now, it's not necessarily that he can be heard throughout the press box.
I was going to say,
it's
the
just
thing
in
that
our
saves
area
them is they have an open press box. If that was an enclosed press box where there wasn't crowd noise drowning out
right
the other people, it would really be embarrassing because every person in there would hear it. In
well,
this
we could
situation,
hear him here.
When he's here, he slaps the desk and we can hear him.
And he yells out, break Doug Flutie's leg.
That's true.
Well, I was yelling
Well, I know
too.
In our press box that our baseball operations staff, we have scout seats, but we also have a box where we're not a part of the press box.
Right.
I know JP doesn't even walk through the press box at all. So I was just wondering how come he would be in the press box and is Scott Pioli have his own box or where's he sitting?
He's an egomaniac.
Well, I also think it's probably they claim they're so limited in luxury boxes and everything there as it is. Maybe they don't feel
like
they
waste a box.
They can't waste whatever they would make on a box.
He can sit in a luxury box here.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is there. Maybe maybe Irsay doesn't want him with him in his box.
That could be too.
Yeah.
But Scott generally watches the game in a separate area. He does walk through the press box from time to time, but he always watches the game from a separate spot, either with the rest of the Patriots coaches, the assistant coaches, or other personnel. But he is never watching the game, as far as I know, in the 7 years they've been here. I haven't seen him watching a game from the press box, not even once.
Is that like with the scouting staff and the other football operations staff?
Well, scouts are in the press box from time to time, depending on where they are. Now, don't forget, in football, the scouts are all over the country for the vast majority of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ran into a bunch of the scouts in Cincinnati when we had the Monday night game there about a month ago, a little more than a month ago. But that's a rarity. We don't really see a lot of the scouts going to a lot of the games until the end of the season, once the college season is over. In between, Andy, do you remember how the story that I did with Dimitrov? I think it was the season in between the end of the regular season for the colleges and then the bowl games. They come back for organizational meetings, the scouts do. So that gives them a little bit of time off, and that's when you might see them a little bit more often. But for the most part, we don't really see too many scouts in the press box.
Okay, yeah, we have the same thing with our organizational meetings and our scout meetings. And but we, as our working in the scouting department, we just have scout seats. So that's why I was whole wondering how they did the whole football operations and scouting department sat in the at the games.
Yeah, and what you will see, Matt, is scouts from other teams that come in and they're working on the Patriots or whatever the opponent is, and
they sit in the press box.
Yes, they sit right in the press box.
Because I know from
especially
our
in the preseason
seats, when we see Boston scout or Cleveland scout, they're sitting right behind us in the games in the scout.
He just blew him up. Good scout talk. Gary didn't think so.
Yeah,
what happened?
Enough's enough.
I thought it was good stuff.
Well, he made his point.
As you were walking around the room without your headphones on.
I had to get it from my garbage.
Sorry about that, Matt.
Scott.
Gary had an itchy trigger finger.
Scott, I don't know. I wasn't listening to you guys.
Anybody sending lunch?
No, I wasn't listening to you guys when you were talking. But Scott says, it is not fact that the Patriots were taping defensive signals, so stop saying that.
It's fact. I saw the video. Everyone in the world saw it.
It is fact.
Well, I'm telling you.
Fact.
The only thing that is fact is that you don't know everything that was on the tapes, nor...
No question. But the fact is they were taping...
actually being taped and why. No one
apparently
has
you don't watch
much.
Fox TV because the tape was leaked.
Speculation and only speculation. We'll spread when you need
it. It wasn't speculation.
The tape is out there.
It was actually played on TV.
You idiot.
Yeah,
they were videotaping the other team's
unless you're
coaches
blind, and I'll apologize if you truly are blind and do not have eyesight, you should have seen it because everybody else saw it. It was Matt Estrella taping coach, scoreboard, back and forth, down and distance, signals.
But even if you didn't have that, okay, let's just say hypothetically they didn't have any, we don't know what was on the tapes, okay, like Brian is saying.
Whatever it was a big deal to the commissioner.
I mean, they fined him three-quarters of $1 million and took away draft picks.
And from that, Paul, if we didn't know what was on the tape, I would think it was worse than what we saw based
and
on the fine and the suspension.
It could be with the other stuff. And so it was a big
that's
deal.
That's what I think.
But the bottom line
but
is,
what we do
fact,
know,
we saw it. Open your eyes. Don't be so blind.
And here's the thing that really...
Unless you are, and I apologize.
But here's the thing that really eliminates it is the Patriots admitted to it.
Right.
You know, this is not like the Patriots try to defend themselves and say that they didn't do it.
They said they were guilty.
Interpretation.
So apparently,
Bill and Mr. Kraft came out with statements that said, "We apologize." And
who was that idiot?
Now I admit
I
to. All right, easy now.
No. He was attacking us, so I can fire back. Okay. I didn't attack him unwarranted.
Okay.
He
might be on the phone. We got Scott from Raleigh, and I don't know if it's him or not.
No, it's not him.
All right.
But I probably share some of his opinion.
Oh, okay.
I just sent you guys an email, by the way, but you can discard it because I had to call because Andy was going off.
That's what Andy
now,
does.
What was the title of the email?
It is not fact.
Oh, yeah, it
well,
is
it
you.
It is fact.
No, it's you. It's the guy we... This is the guy
what
we were
part
just
of
talking
watching
about.
The videotape okay. is not fact.
So, yeah, now you and Andy...
Well, according to Bill Belichick, it's fact because he admitted it.
So,
well,
Scott,
you
sorry
do.
You see it
it's
differently.
It's still speculation.
No, it isn't.
The
you
tape was there. Matt Estrella was taping the defensive signals and the scoreboard back and forth.
He
down
was
in
taping something.
Have you seen the tape?
I'm not going mean, to put up with it. Listen,
that's a clear
I'll come out, and I said it the day it happened. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think that
he was taping something.
I think
even Glenn Ordway admitted they were taping.
I think signal stealing is a big
right,
part.
Glenn?
They broke the rule by videotaping, okay?
You're
but I'm not going to get into this semantical thing that we don't know what they were doing. We know exactly what they were doing and why, to gain a competitive edge. Whether it was for that game or for future games, we know what they were doing.
I was the one
Let's
fired
stop. This is, I mean, it's just ridiculous, okay? Bill Belichick admitted it.
I can't I believe we're even talking about it.
I like, can't I believe it's still, what was the word he used? It's speculation?
Speculation. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with anything we're talking about now. We have, you know, we're so right, Andy, you're ASPFW.
He goes, we're so right.
No, the ASPFW thing that you did this week, this is one of the biggest regular season games, the most watched regular season game in over 20 years, right? We come on a thoroughly thrilling finish and a big, big win. Richard Seymour is putting it on par with any regular season win that they've had, and we're talking about how everybody wants to pick on the Patriots.
Right.
I mean, I'm tired of it. Let's talk
ridiculous.
About the game. Let's
well,
talk about the bye. Let's talk about any of your concerns for you know the last seven games. Let's talk about what you're most surprised about from the first nine. Why are we talking about whether or not they did what they already admitted that they did?
Because one guy got us worked
well,
up.
Well, if you want to talk about something interesting, Paul, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait because Craig is on the line from South Carolina. Craig, what are you doing?
Thanks a lot, Tom, you cork soaker.
What are you up to?
He's a better caller than that last guy. At least Craig can admit that they were taping defensive signals.
They taped defensive signals.
Well
it
said.
Was on the television.
Right.
It was on YouTube. It was a fact. Belichick admitted to it, okay?
Right.
Now...
Craig
that
is suddenly
said,
the voice of reason.
We don't know how long.
Well,
right.
He said,
well, Belichick
said, here we go.
No, I'm just saying. The commissioner said that we didn't use any of that crap for the Jets game. We haven't done it since. So, you know, this is all a bunch of crap. Plus, you know, the other thing is, too, you know, the old man never said, he never came out and said, put an asterisk next to the Patriots.
That's
season.
True. Shula didn't say that. You're right.
Didn't
oh, right.
say that. Shula said, you know, it's like putting an asterisk next to, you know, the name of Barry Bonds, you know, in the Hall of Fame. You know, so people are misconstruing this whole thing. And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy, you know, the Colts game, were they piping in noise, were they not piping in noise. One thing, you know, and I agree wholeheartedly with Paul. You know, this is we ought to be talking football instead of all this other crap. But one thing that's gone completely by the wayside, I don't think too many people have discussed or reported it, is the fact that, you know, we had no communication from coach to quarterback in that game.
Are
and,
you sure
you know,
there was no communication
well,
or they
to,
could not
according
hear?
According to Bill, they just couldn't hear it.
Well, this is Bill's quote. Basically, we didn't have a coach to quarterback operation.
That's true.
We had to signal in all of the plays, which is unusual, but that's the way it is.
Right.
What all was going on, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that from a functional standpoint, the coach to quarterback was basically useless.
Right. And Bill right. said on WEEI that they simply couldn't hear it.
Right.
And that's why it was useless.
Right. So all those issues are
so
done
if they
deal.
But so I'll say well, this, Craig. If they were pumping in noise and that led to them not being able to hear it, that's flat out cheating, and they should be reprimanded for it.
Well,
Craig,
I understand that, and I also understand allegedly that the NFL did an investigation and said it was related to the CBS tape feedback. Whatever. I mean, the NFL at this point doesn't want anybody to view you know the NFL as having you know a tainted reputation. So they're going to downplay and cover whatever they feel is necessary. I mean, let's face it, guys. That's the reason why they destroyed the tape.
I agree. I think it's, you know, Andy made the point yesterday. It doesn't do the NFL any good right now to have their two best teams looking bad. in terms of running on the wrong side of the tracks. Hey, Craig, by the way, did you get that email I sent you about the Seymour?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what the Patriots media relations people said. It's not considered a block, so it doesn't go down as a block, I guess, because he just got his hand on it. I guess the theory
for
is...
For now.
The theory is, I guess, that it could have still been good.
Right. You can't have a blocked kick that could have been good, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you just give him a credit for a block every time he touches it, if it goes through, you can't call it a block. So,
well, if it goes through, in my opinion, it was an unsuccessful block. You know, so it doesn't exist. But in my opinion, you know, if a guy is trying to kick it 50 yards, you know that it's going to be a low trajectory.
How long are we going here?
So, anyway, you know, it was an awesome
play. I just wanted to send that to you just so I asked the same question that you did.
Well, look, Patriot fans, I've been a fan of the Pats for 30-something years.
I knew it was coming. I could see the little twinkle in Gary's eye when he transitioned to something different.
You got enough time. Come on.
True. I have to ask a quick question to Craig, you guys, all our listeners, because our listeners usually do a good job of seeing, hearing, reading everything. My mother came today to babysit, and she said that on TV, she's pulling out an on TV, so I don't know where the hell that could have been, but... that they had a Colts employee admitting that they pump in noise?
WBZ. Yahoo.
Yeah. Reported it,
right? WBZ TV had something that one of their camera guys or something was talking to somebody else, and they said that they did it. I'm sorry, but I don't buy for a second that an employee told somebody else.
Well, that's what I said to my mother. I mean, why would he do that?
Now, maybe it
he
was
either
like,
hates the organization and he's on his way out,
right.
Or...
Now, if you told me that if you told me it was like some sort of guy, like a camera guy that was working for an Indianapolis affiliate
TV, yeah, just a regular TV,
then I would say, well, maybe it's possible, but an employee, no way.
I didn't buy it either.
You know, the thing I don't get, this whole the NFL just destroyed the tape. What are they, the mob? You know, what are they going to start running hooch over state lines? I mean, it's funny because you're sitting here like, they just destroyed the tapes. It seems like something that you would see in a movie, like the mob destroyed all the documents so you couldn't get to them. It's just a little fishy.
It is a little fishy.
It's a lot fishy.
They made it fishy by destroying the tapes within 24 hours.
And I think that this crowd noise thing is fishy, too.
So lots to talk about. What's going on?
Did you hear Bill Polian yesterday about the officials?
Oh, they did a great job. Great job.
Well, we got more.
He goes, you know, and he goes, that holding call. That was a good call. Even though it cost us a big first down, that was a good call. He called it right. He held him. It's a good job. What an embarrassment.
And keep ignoring the noise we're pumping in.
I get you guys a little bit more riled up. Steve from Montana. I agree with the guy who just emailed about the negative approach some of you guys, Paul and Andy in particular, take. It seems that in effort to come across objective, you guys go in the other direction and seem to look for any reason you can to point out the negatives.
That's true. I was saying 16-0 after they had played
I'm
about
sure
three quarters of football.
You're doing an objective job in voicing your opinions, but your felgarish penchant for thinking about sarcastic negativity towards the organization that pays your salaries is at times
It has nothing to do with who pays our salaries. We're not paid to do what you want us to do. We're paid to do what they want us to do.
Andy's I couldn't care less attitude about whether listeners listen to PFW in Progress or another team's broadcast is not an objectivity. It's rude
No, that was my personal opinion. I thought that guy was a moron.
It's rude disengagement from his responsibility to the company he works for. In most companies, he would be fired.
No,
objectivity
I wouldn't.
Check is the voice
numbers.
Of reason.
We just got in the recent numbers
negativity
on the internet
is the
hits
voice
for this show.
Of one with an agenda.
Sky high.
Do you have an agenda
check
by
the numbers.
Any
who, Steve?
Seen the numbers?
Do you have an agenda?
Phenomenal.
Sounds
off the
like
charts. Off the charts. But Sirius is calling. They want to put us on. Howard Stern out. PFW in Progress in.
I'm torn here because I disagree with the emailer, but I kind of don't like Andy. So I kind of want to pile on here.
It's funny. I'm Homer Andy. I'm. What was it yesterday? It was hi.
You
Tom,
were turning
Paul,
into Fred.
And no! Fred Jr. or whatever. And now when I say something negative, I'm Paul Jr.
What are we saying negative though? What's the,
well, Paul?
The
you're
part.
Always negative. So
well, what's the negative?
No, I'm not.
What's the negative stuff?
That the games aren't fixed is negative. It's being blind to what's actually going on.
We don't think the officials, you know.
I don't remember what you guys say. I mean, I darn near called for Lawrence Maroney to get cut, and everyone's saying Andy's being
and
negative.
The fact, that I said it was fact that they taped defensive signals. That was the idiot who got
this
all
fact.
Going. It is fact, but they can't see that. Only we're blind by negativity.
Listen,
they're not
I'm
blinded
telling
by
you,
faith.
This is spurred. The original email was spurred from yesterday when we came on here and we said we don't think that there's a conspiracy against the Patriots. We don't think the bad calls were because they wanted the Colts to win. They don't like that. The Patriots fans don't like that. And
they don't like the truth. That guy right there was asking to not get the truth. He wants us to just say the Patriots are great. The NFL has tried to screw them, but the Patriots are so much better that they can't be screwed right now.
And I'm not going to paint with a broad brush and say all Patriots fans don't like that.
I think most of our listeners are pretty good.
The 50 or so emails that we got after the game was stunning to me that after such a spirited, stirring comeback, you would be focusing on a pass interference on Ellis Hobbs that happened in the first quarter.
And I think we have to remind people, we're the only team that has a radio station. We do this four times a week for 2 hours a day, okay? Now, when we're sitting here saying, well, Lawrence Maroney isn't running with as much power as we like, we're breaking down the team. We have to fill 8 hours. I mean, we're not being negative. We're just looking at the team. The team's phenomenal.
We break down the team. If they lose a game, then
I just you know what I really would hate to have happen is at some point Bill Belichick and Tom Brady aren't going to be here anymore, and chances are we probably will still be here because we have no life and we have nowhere to go. We got nowhere else to go. Okay, what's going to happen if we go like 5-11? Because way back then in 2000, the last time we had a losing season, this wasn't really a big part of our job.
Right.
And I can only imagine what the fans are going to do to us then when we're actually talking about losses every week. Because if you think we're negative now, we're not negative at all.
You know what's going to happen then? We're not going to be negative enough.
Right.
We're going to be the ball washers who work for paper.
Well, that's when I know we're doing our job is we have enough people that make fun of us of being the quote-unquote house organ, and then we have enough people that make fun of us of being negative. So that tells me that we're probably somewhere in the middle where we're supposed to be.
Well, we got someone on the horn from Martha's Vineyard. Forgot your name. What is it? John.
Hey, this is Sean.
Oh, Sean. Hey, Sean. What's going on? Gary didn't even know it.
How are you? How are you?
New caller, Sean.
Yeah, I think we might need to go 5-11 for a couple of years the way we've been drafting the last couple of years.
Ooh, what's the problem? Whoa, you're not happy? What's going on?
Sean, be careful. You don't want to be negative. You'll draw the wrath.
Yeah, I know. That's all right, though.
Well,
that's
Sean, this draft to me was comical. I know you got Moss and Welker, but you're acquiring all these picks for later in the draft, and then you basically threw them away. Right. What's the sense of having them? I would have just—I don't know. This was one of the weirdest drafts I've ever seen from a team. I know you have to throw Welker and Moss into the mix and all that crap, but they still had picks, and what they did with them was just looks like they didn't want to be there.
Yeah, it's been going on a little bit, but I wanted to see if I could maybe get you guys excited, get somebody fighting again.
We could do lunch.
It was a little rougher a couple years back. I remember with Paul and when you were new. It was pretty crazy out there.
That was when Brian was here. I used to go out with him every day.
This is what happens to me every time I watch those blowouts this year. I said to myself, okay, Bill Belichick, he covers everything. He covers Troy Brown plays defensive back a couple years back, and then he ends up playing that. He's got players playing all different positions, covering things for injuries, so forth, covering all the bases. And every time I saw those blowouts, I said, okay, fourth quarter, get a quarterback in there. I'd prefer it be Castle. But get someone in there and get them playing a quarter with the top-line receivers so that when and if Brady goes down, we still got a shot. Even if we win it like the way Brady won it the first year,
Right.
But that doesn't fall in line
with... That's all I wanted to call in and say.
That doesn't fall in line with Bill we appreciate it. Questioning a decision in a fourth quarter, that's not okay around here.
See, that's the thing to me is that's the most remarkable.
Homer Kirsch is here. People will be happy.
Yes, that's the most remarkable thing to me about the Patriots fans. Maybe, and I know I've touched on this before. Maybe you guys can help me. As a fan, I think you should watch your team, support your team. But to me, being a fan isn't going out buying 5 jerseys. It's not getting a stupid tattoo on your arm. To me, that's not being a fan. Being a fan is looking at your team, and when something you don't think is right is...
Well, it's both.
But they don't.
It's both. It's doing all of the above.
No, but I'm just saying anybody can do that, Fred. Anybody can sit there and go, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. But if you think a call stinks, say it. I'll give you a perfect example. Why wasn't Bill Belichick calling timeouts at the end of the half there when the Colts were trying to run the clock out? Remember, Paul, we were yelling about it.
I was very surprised about it. Yeah.
Belichick always calls. That's one of the things he does best out of any coach. I never complain about. But in this game, for some reason, he didn't do it. And I thought it was a mistake.
And it turned out to be a non-factor because Adai made that play.
Right. But a flukish play. But the point is, there was something we disagreed with.
Well, you don't start calling those timeouts until you're sure or you have a pretty good
idea that you're going to get the ball back.
Well,
you don't want to help them.
They threw
their
an
march.
Incomplete pass, and it looked like they were just trying to. And then they had
the
bad spot.
That, but
the Colts were trying
them.
To run out the clock, and I think the Patriots were content to let them try to run out the clock. Now, 2020 hindsight, Fred, Bill was right.
But yes,
because
and that's the point with Bill. You can question him all you want, but usually he's right.
But you can question him though a little bit.
Of course, you can.
But it's not.
But to me,
who's saying you can't?
Well, some of these fans are idiots.
Well, what do they say? See, I just
let me ask you this.
I need to defend my fans.
Let me ask you this. Hold on.
You better ask the right question here.
I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm going to ask you, first of all, do you think we were negative yesterday on this show?
A little bit.
Okay. I'll move on to my second question.
Well, I mean, you know, you can say that you yell at the fans for
I didn't yell at anybody. I didn't yell at anybody yesterday.
No one yelled until today.
You complain about the fans for whining.
I'm yelling today.
You say that the Patriots shouldn't use penalties as an excuse.
I didn't say that. But
yet we say all the injuries that the Colts had.
I didn't use that as an excuse.
Well,
no for the
one.
Colts. First of all, why am I making excuses for
it
the
was
Colts?
Brought up several times.
They were
so
up
anyway,
by 10 points, Fred, with 8 minutes to go.
All right, it was brought up several times. If they had Harrison, if they had
when they play again, it could would give the Colts confidence.
Okay.
No, wait, Fred,
we're
hang on.
Away from
no,
the victory.
No, hang on, Fred.
I think they're taking away from the victory that they didn't acknowledge.
Now I know why.
Every email we got was about the officiating.
Fred, the only point we made, and I want to see if you agree with this, the only point we made was that if you were a Colts fan, if you play the Patriots again, you could have some confidence knowing that Harrison and Hugo and those guys were. Now, do you disagree with that if you were a Colts fan?
I'd say even without those guys, I'd have a little confidence.
Well, that's the only thing we
that's
were saying.
That's the only point that we're trying to make.
Right. But, you know, you take it away from the victory.
No, why? How so? Stop with
the
smirking.
The only people that aren't acknowledging the victory are Patriots fans who are complaining about everything else except the fact.
We want to talk about
football.
Let's just
say
we won. Now I want to ask you the other question. That
this better be the right one now.
Here's the other question.
Okay.
Take everything out of it that you think it meant.
The game is
true. True or false? The Patriots videotaped the other team's defensive coach's signals.
I don't know that. I don't know what they were videotaping.
You didn't see the tape?
I can't believe Paul thought he was
going to come up with that. I saw a 5-second tape that Jay Glazer released to the world, but I don't know where it came
from.
And
then did you read Bill Belichick's statement and Robert Kraft's statement?
Were they
apologizing for it?
They apologized for
breaking the rule.
Breaking the rule. I don't
know. Which was the rule was. No videotaping from the sideline of the other team's defensive coaches.
No, of anything. I don't know what they were doing with Paul.
Not of anything.
You're not
this is the Patriots.com people
still out
want.
There.
This kind
it
of crap.
Paul.
Fred, the
Paul.
Videotaping is still going on from the sideline. It's
Paul.
Not of anything. Don't be
tell
naive.
Tell me anywhere that anyone who knew said the Patriots were taping defensive signals. Show me that.
All we have to do is get Fox to replay that tape.
No, because of Kraft saying that? He never said
Kraft
that.
Kraft apologized for it.
For
what did he apologize
for?
What was the rule he broke?
For using videotape.
But where?
We don't know where they were taping.
I never said
we don't
that.
Know
Fred,
why they were
Fred,
using
it's,
it.
Listen
the
to me.
The tape
was
yeah,
off.
We still have
it's not illegal to videotape from the sideline, Fred. It's not illegal to do that.
Yes,
it's illegal to videotape the coach from the sideline. Yes, it is.
Not according to the rules.
Yes, it is.
No.
And you're wrong, and you know it. And all you're doing is feeding in to the fans right now, and it's embarrassing.
No, you can't use the videotape for anything, Paul.
Yes, you can. We have five guys out there every game.
No, listen.
Mike Burke. Mike Bennett. Those guys, they're out there every game.
They're videotaping the game.
Yes, from the sideline. You just said you can't do anything.
And that's one of the problems that Belichick had. Let me tell you something. You know,
just
there's
move
a lot
on.
More to
move
this.
Move on. You're lying. Move on.
Okay, now I'm being called a liar.
This
again.
Is where they get mad.
Well, I can't talk
Fred,
to
can
somebody.
Can I just ask
like,
you said, wait, you said there's a lot more to this. I want you to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that the NFL got rid of these tapes to protect the Patriots?
No, to protect themselves.
Right.
Okay, or maybe the league as a whole.
Yes, right. Well, that's themselves.
Okay. You know, do you think that Bill Belichick is that stupid that he would just say, I'm going to put a guy in Patriots gear and put him on the sideline, point a camera at the Jets sideline, and the hell with it?
I don't think it was stupidity.
I just think they were doing it for years, and they didn't think anything was wrong with it.
And
I
here's
speed
another
every day.
Thing. We still have people out there, fans, media, whoever, saying they were using it during the game.
Okay,
but that's irrelevant. I didn't ask you that.
There's a lot of misinformation
Fred,
the question was,
tape was shown.
A tape, something was shown. We don't even know.
So,
but
if
we know
you're
that
telling
they
me
videotaped
that,
the coach,
if
we
you're
do
telling
know that.
Me they got in trouble for something else other than that tape, then they deserve to lose another draft pick because that tape showed them breaking a rule.
Maybe there was other stuff on the tape, too.
Fred,
I don't know.
But that's not what we're arguing. The tape showed the Jets coaches, the scoreboard, You cannot argue with those facts.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Now we're fine.
That's not what you
now
said.
Now we're fine. That's not what you said.
But, and I'm saying there's more to it than that.
That's fine. So
nobody
would say
all think the same thing.
Everything else that you're saying, I agree 1,000%.
But we got in trouble.
With.
You just wasted 15 minutes of our life.
Because I started by saying it's fact that they showed they were taping defensive coaches. That's fact.
Just
we've
so you know, Craig in South
Craig
Carolina
agreed with me,
agrees
but
with
some
us.
Guy went off on a whole. It's not fact. It's interpretation, propaganda.
We're
all
speculating.
Speculation. It isn't. We saw the tape.
Well,
I'll agree with you that it doesn't mean that much. It's blown way out of proportion. They didn't get that much of a competitive advantage. This is all being
all the other arguments
overblown.
We've already had.
All of that we talked about it 6 weeks ago. We all agree
the tape
with you.
Is fact.
We all agree with you. The only thing was Andy said, "Look, we know that they videotaped the coaches, and guys are yelling at us for being negative for saying that, and that's a fact."
I felt pretty good when Craig admitted it.
Wait, I got to read an email here.
What would you rather be called? Or a liar.
This is from
you
Sam.
You gotta stop playing that.
I think Fred will take the
that.
Former.
This
is, he gets mad when you use the latter.
This is Sam from Denmark. Shut the F up, Fred, you stupid clueless homer. Don't make MF excuses for every freaking thing that your employer didn't do so correctly. Sam from Denmark.
He's the opposite of the other guy, Scott.
Yeah, just so you know, Fred, we had about three of them the other way on me and Andy. So
we're doing a fine job because we're getting emails on both sides of the issue.
We're balanced.
We have a rebuttal. Now from the guy we blew up.
A rebuttal
Scott.
From the rebut.
He says, well, I guess you didn't want to hear my argument, and it's not a surprise. You can't do battle in an intellectual forum. Fine. But there is something still that I cannot get past, and you have to admit as much yourselves. Why would he do this for something that really doesn't matter that much?
What?
The risk. Let me read the whole thing. Yep. The risk versus reward part. I don't believe that BB is so brilliant, then becomes so dumb. I think he was interested in possibly something more than we noticed on those tapes, and perhaps it could be something worse than what we've all been able to discern. But unfortunately, you didn't take the time to hear me out. I believe that there is fault, but it is not what everyone is convinced of. I wanted to hear you break this down and think about it, but you're not willing to.
Okay.
Well, as far as what I believe he is looking at and filming, I will now keep that to myself because you pissed me off, but also because I think I may actually be onto something. And for the record, when someone disagrees with what you say, you can't just say turn it off or don't listen. We are not here to listen to you. We as fans are here listening to get information on our team that we would not be able to hear otherwise.
You don't want information.
It has nothing to do
with
you.
You want me to say go past
your humble pie.
Who is this?
Scott.
Scott, I apologize on everyone's behalf.
Why? I didn't. What am I doing?
I agree, Gary. Well said. Blow that idiot up.
Gary blew him up.
He took his
ball. He deserved to be blown up.
He's come to the bottom of the whole scandal, but he's going to take that information and go home.
But if he had said what he said at the first sentence of his email, that he believes that this is what they were doing and there was more, we wouldn't have blown him up. He said they didn't tape the defensive
coaches. So now I'm not being negative enough because there's actually a lot more bigger issues here that the Patriots were doing.
He said it's not fact that they taped the defensive coaches, and that's when Gary blew him up, and he should have.
We'll never know.
I would love to know because Goodell said that Belichick was, you know, whether it was on the phone or there, I don't even know. But he eloquently stated his case in a respectful manner, but I chose to do what I did. I would love to know what Belichick said. That's all.
Well, the other
That's
part of
what
it
I
is,
would love to know.
Now,
we never will.
The rest of Scott's email, and I happen to agree with a vast majority of it, that's speculation. What you think
right.
it was, what you think they were
we
doing,
have no idea
what you
why
think they thought
it.
They wanted to do it for. That's all speculation, and that's fully up
but
open
the thing
to debate.
He said
that's open
speculation
to opinion.
Is that Belichick is not an idiot, and that's
right.
the thing that gets me.
Right. Okay,
I
agree
what
with
makes
you.
Me wonder.
I agree
but
with
that
you
makes
on that.
You speculate.
But do you also
right.
say that's
why
Fred,
but we know that that's true. That
Fred,
it's
Mike
not
Tice
an idiot.
Did it. Everybody Fred. Would say he's an idiot. That's
but
why he did
can
it.
Can we also? Not, and I totally agree with you. Belichick's not a dumb guy. He would not. You know, he'd not be subjecting himself to this. Intentionally knowing what was going to happen. But can't you also interpret that he was getting something out of it? He wouldn't risk anything?
Yes, absolutely.
For nothing?
He had to have done doing it for something.
Again, that's speculation. That's not fact.
This is
that's
all
my opinion.
Speculation.
That's my yeah. opinion. I, that's all I'm saying. I don't think it's that big a deal. We talked about it, like I said. We talked about it when it happened. And none of us, all four of us agreed, we think they're blowing this up way bigger than it needs to be. We're all in agreement on that.
And I absolutely...
No one's being negative.
And I know that, you know, you've heard... probably some scuttlebutt from guys who work downstairs that, man, they made a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. But you can't sit there and tell me that we didn't do it.
No, who's saying that?
Well, that's what I asked you at first.
Yeah,
you said no.
You said no.
Well, you said that's they got in trouble for filming coaches.
And that's what they got in trouble for.
I'm not sure exactly what they got.
But you're
in trouble
saying
for.
They did
I know
something
using a video camera.
You said they did something wrong. You're just not sure what it was they got in trouble for.
But they videotaped
but
the
know
other team's
they
coach.
The coaches.
That's one of the things.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's but right. that's
so
the
you
thing.
And Scott think they cheated more than we know about. Basically,
or something else. But you know what? I'm still. And the commissioner said they were cheating. I'm convinced that Belichick, at the time he was doing it, didn't think it was breaking the rules.
Right, but again, that's
he thought he was bending.
We can speculate all we want on that.
I agree.
We can speculate all we want. Hey, I think they made a way bigger deal out of this than it needed to be.
Did I tell the story about Paul Brown?
Yeah. Okay. And Scott, you can email anytime you want. I'll read your email. One more email.
That's his attempt.
Now Patriots suck up Tom Casale.
Well, that was a segue.
I don't think so.
That was a segue because we have one more email before we take a break. It's M.A. in Georgia. He said, guys, stop complaining about the fans. 99% of us love the back and forth. The show would suck if all you just ball-washed Belichick.
I thought it was Bill Walshing these days.
Yeah, Bill Walshing.
Coming from a total homer, here are the appealing elements of the show. One, Paul's bad attitude. Two, Andy patronizing the fans. Three, Tom's funny accent and his sucking up. Four, Fred's obliviousness. And five, the leg's absence. Keep it up,
well
fellas.
Done. Well
you
done
help
email.
The day go by. And just to close, I don't have the funny accent. You do, you southern redneck.
Sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game. Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With a win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship tickets and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game. Thursday.
Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With the win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship tickets and get the revolution.
All right, we're back. Gary's all proud of himself. He's got that smirk on his face with a.
Good.
But we've come to a conclusion on how to fix this.
We can't.
If you send us lunch and attach a note, if you want us to be the arguing PFW guys, we'll do that day. If you want us to be the Homer, Fred Kirsch, Bill Walshing PFW guys,
we'll do that day.
So all you got to do is send lunch, put a note, and we're all set. Now, apparently we're fighting with Steve, too.
He was the original that said we were negative yesterday.
Okay. Now, he said, I do not believe there's a conspiracy against the Patriots. I do not believe that there is nothing negative to say about the Patriots. I picked them apart constantly myself. I cannot believe all the things you read into my previous email and accuse me of thinking. Try reading objectively. I said I appreciate objectivity. Look it in the mirror before calling someone else a moron.
I don't remember that email then.
I thought no one around here wanted objectivity. I thought we were supposed to be homers.
Yeah, I think I thought Steve's email was somebody else's.
Well,
name.
I was arguing
maybe
with
we
a Steve
are guilty
this
of reading
morning.
The wrong one.
This morning I was arguing with a Steve on Ask PFW.
Is that him maybe?
That could be him.
I think a lot of people think this show is the same as Ask PFW.
Well, they, yeah.
Yes, they do.
We get a lot of crossover.
They think we're all the same person. And
are you all right?
Swallow the microphone. I can't talk.
Well, Freddie, yep. I put a little thing in promoting the show
on
Ask PFW yesterday. Because somebody said, love the show, hate Paul, fire him. And I used that as a platform to say, well, when you're talking about the show, PFW in progress, and told them to send lunch, I got it all in there in a little paragraph.
I particularly like when the emailers write in and they want someone fired. Usually it's me, and then like you see like signs like Diane. And you're like, jeez, I upset a woman that bad?
Well, women passionate.
My favorite thing is you two. You respond.
Like to think they're the fairer sex.
These guys, they respond, Fred. Someone doesn't like them, Andy was there all morning working for like an hour, and I thought he was actually doing work.
No,
and he said, I'm responding to emails. So,
well, there was one guy that said when I said that the officiating wasn't, they weren't on the take. He said, stop being a wimp and defending the mob. So I was being a wimp defending the mob, and he got me a little worked up.
Well, we got John from Palm Bay on the line. John?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey,
good.
John.
Hey, John.
You can calm us down, right, John?
Yeah. Here's that calming voice. You know,
I think it was the worst NFL referee job I ever seen.
That could be. It was bad. Korean. We've all admitted it was bad.
I thought it was bad.
But the question is, did you think it was bad because the guys just made bad calls or there was a meeting before the game where they slipped them $500 to make bad calls?
Right.
I think the NFL is trying to screw the Patriots.
Okay. then as Tom said yesterday, you shouldn't watch the games then if you don't think the games are on the up and up. I don't know why you'd waste your time watching games. I mean, if you think it's if you really think it's fixed, why are we watching?
That's the other thing. Somebody was writing in. Is that the email? I think I saw some of the emails before I came down. Somebody was saying that the NFL is fixed and we're just supporting the mob.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the guy I got into a fight with.
So if the Patriots all of a sudden cover at the end by doing something they shouldn't be doing, I mean, they did exactly the right thing. The clock was – all they had to do was take knees and you know –
No, so, they think that the reason why the Colts covered is because the NFL had it fixed that the Patriots wouldn't cover.
But how – by because the Patriots took knees at the end?
No, by penalties and
by the fact that they only won
the referees, calls that they needed, they got.
I mean, like I said –
Well, the Patriots had to be in on that because, like I said, they could have
– But if people really think that the games are fixed, I don't know why you would watch.
Right. As Tom said, it's Vince McMahon. It's WWE.
Yeah, it's not fixed.
Okay.
Thanks, John. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that there haven't been improprieties by individuals.
Oh, yeah.
But the league is not fixed.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's a big difference there.
I can almost guarantee you there's been pro
sporting events fixed
in our
lifetime, right?
Absolutely.
The only way to do that is to get to one guy. You think the mob's sitting there and they got a whole team or
Rolodex
a whole
of officials? Right. Let's call Joe this week.
The only way to do that is to get to one guy, but there's no guarantee. It just gives you that edge.
Right, and that's all they're looking for.
What happens is a friend of a friend knows a cornerback for the Falcons who's in a little bit of money trouble. They contact him. You know, why don't you take a dive late in the game? We need to cover this. That's how it works.
It could be an official, but it's not a whole crew of officials at the leagues.
Right.
And the other thing I'd say is that crew is a newly put together crew with young officials in the biggest game of the year. I think if they're fixing a game, they're doing Falcons, Eagles, or something that no one really cares about, that the mobs just look. They're not doing it on an obvious platform where they're going to make such obvious calls and draw such attention to themselves.
Yeah, that's someone who just lost a bet.
Well, the other part of it, too, that is, and I wholeheartedly agree, I thought the officiating was bad, okay? But, like, the pass interference call on Hobbs. Terrible, terrible call. But I've seen it like five times this year. It's not a rare call. I think they butcher that call all the time. It's why I always argue with you, Fred, that I think it should just be a 15-yard penalty.
And I know it. And I know you guys laugh at me, but I still think they should keep – even after that game, I still think they should keep it the way it is.
No, I know that, but that's fine. You know, you're very consistent with that, and that's understandable. But my point is I see bad calls every week. But when they happen against the Patriots, it means there's a conspiracy against them.
Well, there was
for some, not for everybody.
There was a terrible pass interference call, poorly officiated game. I mean, there was
but not for one team than the
where
other.
There was a 5-yard mark off, and the guy started walking from the wrong place.
No, they were bad.
He was standing on the place where the ball should have been.
Let me ask you a question. There was a game in Dallas on a third down where if the Cowboys had to have a stop, they were still in the game, and they threw a ball in the end zone. And they called the most ridiculous pass interference on, I believe it was Ken Hamlin, when Randy Moss was in. No chance that the ball could ever be caught, right? That really affected the game because the Patriots scored another touchdown. Have I ever mentioned that call? I never mentioned it. Never.
No, you haven't.
Until now.
No, but I'm just saying.
But the point is.
Any fan base can look at a game probably and
no
say.
No question.
Now, and I agree with you. This game was terribly officiated. And the officials are to blame. But every fan base could look at a game and say, you know, if we had this, if we had that.
But I look at it as a bad call that hurt a team, one team
and
or
that's
another.
Why
but I don't look at it as a conspiracy to make one team
and
win.
That's
the difference.
And that's why whatever they need to do to get it absolutely right, they need to keep tweaking that instant replay
but
until they get it
right. Every single
but do you think
call?
You can
no, but I'm just saying, whatever
well,
you
because we had an ASPFW, but I'm going to answer
bad with that.
I'm going to answer that next
college
week.
College is getting bad
every
with that.
Every time they score, they review it, even
right.
if it was
and
like a run in the
that,
middle of the
but,
field.
But I think that that's helped. Now, in a league that was fixed, why would you even have an instant replay? Right? Would you not want that?
And you
to
know,
make people
I did,
think
I
that
did,
you're
I
not.
Did,
you know, we know
Fred,
that
I
they
want to ask you a question.
We
keep hearing this conspiracy against the Patriots. Here's what I'm thinking. New England Patriots are 18-0 and in the Super Bowl. Is that by far the most watched Super Bowl ever?
No.
No?
I don't think
they're
so.
Going for a perfect season?
I don't think it is.
Why?
It depends on who they're playing. They're playing the Cowboys, yes. But I got a feeling that by that point, people that hate the Patriots will be like, I'm not watching them.
Are you
I think
kidding
they'll
me?
Be watching
the
to
whole
root against
world
them.
Will be watching and root against them.
I just my gut feeling.
You're wrong. I can guarantee you you're wrong.
Now, why don't you yell at him when he says you're
well,
wrong?
No, he doesn't
well, he
say
didn't
I'm
say
lying.
He's a liar.
But, Fred, my point
wrong
is.
Wrong lie. What's the difference?
Well, last time you really did lie because you changed your tune
Fred,
by the end of the argument.
I hate the Giants.
Thank
okay?
you.
I hate the Giants. If they were undefeated in the Super Bowl, I would be almost as if I was a fan of the other team right. because if they win this game, I'm never going to
well,
hear the end of it.
You're counting on people's hatred to lure them to watch. I'm saying that people, I think a lot of people.
I'm counting on the history.
And I think some of those people, but I think a lot of people are like, I'm so sick of that team. I'm not watching this game.
Are you serious? Wasn't the Patriots-Colts game the most watched game in the history of the broadcast television?
Yeah, 20 years.
That's a game that was in doubt. You think that anyone that the Patriots are going to play in the NFC, they're going to lose to?
But they're going to hope.
Wow.
Looking past the Super Bowl.
What if it's the Cowboys?
They're going to kick their butts.
The same thing you said
the Cowboys
about Carolina.
Led in the third quarter.
Well, the other issue is, first of all, we should just
Trust
assume
me.
That
they're
half the population watches
Second
the
time
game.
Around, Belichick will kill
well,
them.
You only need
Fred,
to draw in an extra
you know
1% to go.
Fred, you know what?
Two tiny little Belichicks against the whole Dallas team, and he still beats them.
What's
Fred,
two tiny little Belichicks?
First of all,
why
I don't think the Cowboys.
What's he talking about?
I don't think the Cowboys are going to be in the Super Bowl anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I can't figure you out, man.
Discovery kind
of. He
makes
I
it
just
up
can't.
As he goes along
because you're an undefeated team.
I think
team?
It is because he's hungry. He's been very odd since
you don't
he's
think
come
it,
into
I just
show.
I can't believe he doesn't think an undefeated team in the Super Bowl would draw viewers, because I guarantee you the women and stuff that you usually they would be interested in that.
I
know,
think
a team
they'd
going
be
going undefeated.
Old people,
it's just my gut feeling,
like, you know,
Tom.
Greg Easterbrook types these.
I think you've lost it. Like yeah. you're like the thing you used to have that made you successful.
What was that?
Whatever it was.
I think the AFC Championship game. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about internationally because they pipe the Super Bowl everywhere. I'm just talking
about
the
here.
U.S.
Yeah.
market, okay? I think the AFC Championship game, if it's the Patriots and Colts, will be a bigger viewership than the Super Bowl.
Are you out of your mind?
No chance. Yeah. No chance.
U.S.
No chance. Which one will
now,
be?
The AFC
zero
Championship
chance.
Game against
now,
the, if it was against the Colts.
No
Paul.
Chance.
Now,
no
Paul.
Chance.
Because it's
in
a
my
game.
Opinion, in my opinion,
it's not
going to
be a game in the Super
the
Bowl.
The Super Bowl
people
is the Super Bowl.
People watch the Super Bowl. That don't watch the that don't care who wins the AFC championship.
Dumbest
game.
Statement ever said on this show.
I
right
think
there,
that was. Why do some Super Bowls have bigger viewerships than
the
others?
The Cowboys, the Steelers, right. teams like that,
and things like
the Cowboys
like
and 49ers didn't have more people watching them than the Bills Cowboys Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl.
Well.
And it's the history.
He needs food. Someone get this guy food. It's like me with low blood sugar. He doesn't know
what
he's saying.
I think everyone in New England will be watching, and I think everyone – but I think a lot
of – I'm thinking about walking out of the show.
I think a lot of people that aren't Patriots fans will be like, I am so sick of this team. I'm going to –
Everyone watches the Super Bowl. That's what you start with. You start with like whatever the 100 billion people
I know, but you're saying that it's going to be so much more than any other Super Bowl. I don't
know. He's saying it's going to be higher. He didn't say so much higher. First of all, can we all agree there's only so much higher it can go?
Right.
Well, that's true.
If there's kind of a finite amount
but isn't
of people
the Patriots
that,
and,
that are interested.
Isn't the Patriots and Panthers, that's up there, right?
They're always up there because the population grows, so the percentage
right.
grows. And
naturally. But you're saying it's going to be
but
more.
But you think the AFC
there's
title
be more,
game is going to beat the Super Bowl.
There's going to be more intrigue because you have something that hasn't happened in 35 years.
I think that once they get to the Super Bowl, it's over. They're done. They've won.
Don't you think last year's freaking Super Bowl was over as soon as the Bears made it? You didn't. Did you think there was any doubt the Bears were ever going to win that?
Was that the highest ever?
You did.
Was that the highest rated Super Bowl ever?
Were they going for history?
No,
there was
but
no
a
one
lot of people still watched
there.
It.
Okay, well,
more
I think,
people. Let me ask you a question,
look,
Fred.
The only thing,
better game, Patriots Colts or Bears Colts?
Here's the question, right
Patriots
here.
Patriots Colts.
So who was more watched?
I don't know. What,
oh,
it was the
Super Bowl.
I don't know. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay. There's a reason they charge $2.9 million per ad. It's the most watched thing every year.
I understand that, but we're comparing it to other Super Bowls.
I picked them.
No, you're comparing it to the AFC title,
and I'm saying that I don't think that this will be an extraordinarily more watched game than other Super Bowls.
Well, now again we're changing
the argument.
Now
has
it's
changed.
Extraordinarily more. All I remember Tom was saying it was going to be the most watched Super Bowl. That's
ever.
That's all he said.
Way.
Now you're saying
I don't think it's
going to be extraordinarily
and
more watched.
And the
watched.
Only way we're going to know is if it happens. But
this
don't...
is coming from Mr. America's team. Mr. Right. Every time the Cowboys are on, the
right.
most people watch them.
Right.
And I'm conceding, saying that the Patriots will get the most watched audience of all time. And Mr. Patriot,
right.
Fred Kirsch, is disagreeing with
Mr.
me.
Mr. Realism.
He's saying watch the AFC title game. That's all you need.
I'm just saying that I don't think it will be.
Okay. All right.
But based on your theory as to why there will be more people watching the AFC championship game than the Super Bowl, and it will pale in comparison.
Well,
it won't even be close.
And you're right, because a lot of casual fans watch anyway.
It's the Super Bowl.
But in order
there's
to,
parties.
But whoa. In order to
it's
bring
like
it,
a holiday.
In order to bring it to the highest rated Super Bowl ever, there has to be some extenuating circumstances.
You mean like going undefeated?
Like going 19-0.
But I also think that the casual fan will say, you know, a lot of people who hate the Patriots say, I'm not even going to watch this game. I'm so
I think it's the exact opposite.
I think
the
anybody who watches the Super Bowl watches the Super Bowl regardless of who's in it.
I think you're right.
Now I think you're going to get some people out of just blind curiosity.
Yep.
Can this team do it?
History.
Can Bill Belichick go 19-0? Can they overcome the stigma of the cameras? It's an amazing story,
Fred. I just
have
a feeling, and I'm usually right.
All right, let's read some emails.
Oh, man. I don't know what to say.
There's nothing you can say, so.
Some guy wants us to stop yelling. He's got to take Excedrin.
How do you think I feel? I'm yelling.
Clint Skull says, Andy, retarded. You know how many people watch the Super Bowl just for commercials? Ridiculous. I don't know why he's yelling at Andy.
I was just saying, Andy's on your side, Clint.
I think he thinks Fred is...
That was my point. Well, people watch the Super Bowl. You could put two monkeys out on the field, call it the Super Bowl, and they're going to watch because they're at a party and they're watching the commercials. They watch it every year, every February, the first Sunday.
That doesn't make this one, though, the highest rated ever.
No, the Patriots start
from that
and add history. They add to that. You start with a baseline.
Tom, I think there's something to your theory.
How big was that 72 Super Bowl with the
oh, Frank.
That's not even.
You're comparing 72 to now.
There was no. Was that the highest rated up to that point?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yes, up to that point, I guarantee it was. I guarantee it was.
I don't know.
I don't need to see.
Plus, it was the Dolphins, who were extremely popular football team. So,
and then an extremely unpopular football team.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you're right, because the Patriots never draw ratings. That's why the Bills game is getting switched to Sunday night.
So we now think the Colts carried the highest rated regular season game in history. They have like 10,000 people that root for them. No offense, Colts fans.
Did you know that in Indianapolis their ratings beat New England?
So okay. What's the point
this
of
week,
that?
I'm just saying their ratings beat New England's ratings this okay. week.
But the point is nationally. I gotta be honest.
I kind of wish you'd go back upstairs.
When you count when you're counting the whole country, and you're counting about. Fans that didn't care ostensibly who won or lost. More people watch the game than has watched
That's
any
true.
Game in
Since
over
96.
20 years. 87.
I thought they said
back,
96.
Back as far as their ratings go.
Back as far as their ratings go, which is 87.
Okay.
The previous high was 96.
Did
but
you
this
see,
passed
oh,
that.
Okay, okay.
The part I liked was they count three-year-olds. Did you see it put in parentheses, people, two plus. And
Wait, Paul, I wasn't listening to you. What'd you say about the Steelers won, the Cowboys was the top, right? And then would
what,
you say
Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. This is regular season games.
I was going to say, Steelers,
it went
Cowboys.
Back to 87 is when the last they had records go back.
Depending on how you go by numbers, there's debate whether it's Steelers, Cowboys, or Patriots, Panthers, I believe. I believe
right.
those are the two top watched Super Bowls of all
one
time.
One of them had a higher rating, the other had a higher share.
Yeah, right.
Because it's the population grows, but right. they count by the percentage
now,
of population.
See, I eliminate the Steelers, because anytime the Steelers play the Cowboys, that's half of the fans in the world are going
right.
to, because they're all the Steelers and Cowboy fans. So the fact that the Patriots are right there in a game against the Panthers,
who have nobody in an expansion, a modern expansion team.
Right, plus, they were all in the juice.
Let's get back to the emails.
Who's they?
Carolina.
Christian says, this show is the balls. You guys are the best. Enough of Spygate. Let's talk football.
Yeah.
I've kept an eye on Indy all year, and I didn't think their defense was that fast. Wow.
Fred did.
I agree.
Fred did. That, now, here's why I give you that one.
Yeah.
Fred,
week
that's
one,
Freddy. You were right, and you're patting yourself on. I saw that week one.
But how can you not think that they were fast?
They're better than I thought.
But they're good. I don't care about fast. They're good.
Right. Well, they're all right. Good and fast.
Let me put an end to this.
Fred I didn't think they were that good. I'll
Fred is never right. Sometimes he just guesses and
right. He nailed this one.
All right. So,
he nailed this one. Give him his due.
He won't be nailing that the AFC title game will have more viewers than the
Super
Bowl.
You're probably right.
Probably?
All right.
But I'm just saying, I don't think that this will be the highest rated, if the Patriots are in it, highest rated Super Bowl ever.
Do you make presentations at league meetings ever?
No.
Oh. Because I would pay to see you at like a league meeting. I really think the AFC title game is going to be bigger this year. Let's the Super Bowl. We got to pull back the promotion on that.
Sunday's game was vintage Patriots circa 03-04. A
yes.
defensive game plan that Indy wasn't prepared for,
clutch
play on both sides of the ball, especially in the fourth.
Yes.
The one
clutch.
Thing that did bother me was the offensive game plan. Too much run early. What do you guys think? Also, why does Maroney disappear in the second half of games? As for the refs, it is what it is. Thanks, guys, and have a good one.
I think that's the better way to look at the refs. I think the refs stink in general, period.
As
and
I wrote
story.
In SPFW, like quarterbacks and head coaches, not enough refs to go around that
not
are good.
Not enough good refs.
It's been watered down by expansion. More games equals more refs.
We talked a lot about the offensive game plan yesterday. I didn't really have a huge problem with
it. I didn't
either. Thought you put the other team puts a nickel package on the field on first down. I think the thing to do is run against it.
And Bill agreed last week before the game, not knowing how things were going to play out, ripping the Buffalo Bills for not
yes.
running the ball in the Super
against
Bowl
them.
When he had defensive backs and linebackers on the field.
And I also think if you got
football 101.
If you got much more aggressive than you did in terms of spreading the field and throwing the ball, the way those tackles, those defensive ends were beating the Patriots' tackles, I think you really right. would have been in trouble.
And that's the other thing. Maybe they were planning on spreading it out and throwing it. Then the first play, they lost minus Bang. 10 and go, whoa, get a running back in there.
And the,
defensively, though, I would say that, you know, I think the Patriots made plays when it counted. But the first half, that defense didn't do anything to bother Indianapolis at all in the first
Except
half.
Except they did do better in the red zone.
Yes, but that's different.
Right. Yeah.
That's different yeah. personnel down there.
Right.
It's not the 4-2-5
right.
thing. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
This next email, they didn't leave the name, so I don't know who it's from, but he says, Fred, the first line brings me to my point about you not promoting the show. He said, hey, guys, I love your show and became a listener about a month ago. I have used the website for many years and really enjoy the SPFW segment. Come on, Fred. He said, you guys may not...
He found SPFW, but he can't find the show.
You guys, he didn't press F5 shift 7 times.
You guys may not discuss the Bills game just yet, but if you're willing to do so, I firmly believe the Pats will beat the Bills in Buffalo. Do any of you think that the game got a bit bigger when they moved it to Sunday night?
No.
All saw how they were hyped up for the Cowboys when they got to be on national television. I'm not saying the Bills will win the game, but I feel as though it will be a challenge for the Pats. Also, do you think Troy will be back for that game?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a pushover.
No.
I think the Bills are playing pretty well.
The Bills are playing.
I do think the Bills are playing.
They'll run out of gas.
I think.
And Homer Simpson doesn't coach the Patriots. He coaches the Cowboys. So
right. But I think the Bills have had it. I told Tom, I have to write the preview, and they've had every reason. They've been banged up, lost guys left and right, quarterback controversies, everything. They're playing hard for Dick Jerome.
Yeah, they are. So it's one of those games that they might keep it close for the first half, and then
first
they
six,
just
seven
play
minutes.
Away.
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
No, I think more than that.
I'd be surprised if the game is not over by half. I really would.
Okay.
Statement.
10-plus point spread at the half.
Jorge from PR. Five questions.
The PR department?
As in Puerto Rico?
Yes. One, did Bill leaving...
Casey's going by Jorge now?
did Bill leaving the starters still in the fourth help with the last game?
I do not believe that is the case.
No.
Okay. Why is Bill criticized for the Spygate and Weiss and Brady are left off the hook?
What did Brady do?
I don't know.
And what did Weiss do? He's an employee. If Fred tells me to do something, I do it. Somebody comes down on Fred?
That. Isn't it the ultimate responsibility of the guy in charge.
Sure.
When was the
Fred
rule
tells
about
me to make
ca-
up a quote? You'll read that quote in the paper.
When was the rule about the camera on the sideline enacted?
That were,
I have
whatever.
Heard it was 2006.
What happened?
That's not true. It's been a rule for... You actually said it was an antiquated rule,
what's
Fred,
that?
I think. The rule itself about the videotaping. You said it was in some sort
of
bylaws.
It's been around for a while.
Beer in plastic cups was the other rule?
Yeah, it was like, you actually called it antiquated, I think, was the word you used.
They've added to it over the years, which... has added to its ambiguity.
And I don't know what that means.
Ambiguity.
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 Jesus, are you guys done using
big
words?
Literally in the management.
Antiquated is a big word?
In the operations manual, the management manual, right above it is that no stadium will serve beer other than in a plastic cup.
Right.
So.
Okay, four, if Peterson keeps this up, can he be MVP? Same with Favre, Moss, Garcia, and Romo. I don't know what Garcia he's talking about. It's not Jeff, is it?
Well,
I mean, I don't know how it's not Brady. I just don't.
Yeah, and the
you could make an argument because the team
can make an argument.
They have
Moss.
No offense, and
but,
he's just carrying the load.
Now, if they if they were 6-2, right. I think now you really start making an argument for him. They're not going to make the playoffs. And will the Pats trade down in next year's draft?
Yes.
Okay.
Will the Pats trade down with that pick? You don't think they'll take a pick in the top five?
I don't know where the pick's going to be.
I'm guessing it's in the top five.
Well, it could be. Might not be.
Okay, wherever it is, you think they're trading down?
Sure.
Okay.
Ron from New Hampshire.
Seemed like an easy question. I had yes or no to choose. I went with yes.
He said, just my opinion, but if it wasn't for the objectivity and difference of opinions you guys have, the show would be boring.
That's true.
It's just fine with me if everyone outside of New England hates the Patriots. People will watch just hoping to see them get beat. But until they lose, I guess they're still the best in the league. And that's Ron from New Hampshire.
Good point.
Thanks, Ron.
People will watch.
Is it Ron Raymond in New Hampshire?
All right, that's
15 feet from the computer. And still gets to say,
and he still has that smirk on his face.
Lee Johnson. He said, "Hey,
my guess
is that the offense will be." He's talking about next year. My guess is that the offense will be largely the same next year, personnel wise. On D, changes are likely. The D line is also set for 2008. AD Colvin and Vrabel are set. Who's the fourth linebacker next year? Most likely Sanders, Harrison, and Hobbs will be back. Who's the fourth DB? And Fred baited you guys into arguing again. Fred's the man.
He is the man. There's no doubt.
Why are we assuming Harrison's back?
I'm not assuming Vrabel's back either.
I'm not either.
Especially if they go 19-0.
So I think those are bold assumptions. And then
I'm not assuming he's gone either before anybody accuses me of being negative.
Well, I'm assuming they're both gone.
Kurt Schilling's back.
I think there's a chance that Vrabel could retire.
Kurt Schilling's back.
Thanks, Fred.
Brian in San Francisco, he's mentioned something that I don't like. He said, ponder this. What if the NFL decided to make pass interference a challengeable call? Not that it would happen, but certainly certainly we could argue that PI is the most often missed call and also can be a huge impact. Yes. I just think...
You'd have to have a panel of people and do a consensus. Right.
Games would last 7 hours.
You know? But you'd see, it wouldn't... I think that's the common knee-jerk reaction. The games would last longer. If you're still limiting them to two challenges, then the games are the same.
Right.
But here's my problem.
It's such a judgmental
call. It's a judgment call, and you look at just what's happened the last 2 days. we've had many emailers email in saying the Hobbs call was terrible and the Samuel call was terrible, right? We've had a lot of people write in. Now, we all agree that we didn't like the Hobbs one, but I think we all agree that we thought the Samuel one was legit.
He had his arm.
Obviously, other people don't think the Samuel one was legit. So what happens when you go to the replay and you look at it, you're not, right. you haven't solved it.
And the
anything.
Other thing is, even, okay, you could have your hand on a guy's arm. You don't know how hard it was. There's just too much, you know.
It's a judgment call.
They have a hard enough time figuring if a guy crosses the goal line. I was watching a game last night.
Fact.
The guy scored by at least a good half a yard. But they never made the call, so they went in and did that, let's look and see where he is. And then he wasn't in the end zone, but they kept showing the replay, and it was obvious that he's in. So if you right. can't even make that call, right. that's a judgment call. You know, was he over the line?
Yeah.
Now you're asking if, did he have his arm? Right. It's too much to right. ask those guys.
Yeah. Tom, quick aside on college football. Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah.
Did you see the kid go ballistic who got screwed, I think, by getting thrown out?
Oh,
but
yeah.
But then, he should have been arrested. He wanted to go on the field and kill the official.
He was
a guy was holding
crazy.
A running back got tackled. His leg was up on the guy's shoulder. And the guy was kind of like holding it. And the kid should have kicked him, which should have been an automatic 15-yard penalty. And it was, but they also threw him out. And the kid went his coaches had to restrain him. Players had to restrain him. He wouldn't go off the field. It's like he wanted to go out and beat up the official who threw him out. And I've never seen anything like it. He's lucky they held him back because he would have really regretted if he had gotten on the field.
Did you see that little reverse play that they did? And the guy was tackling the quarterback who was handing the ball off on the end of a round, and then he just reached out with his foot and tripped the guy because he was going by, and they called it a tackle like it was incidental.
Rivalry game, baby.
It was completely on purpose.
By the way, Ohio State, Michigan, noon on the day we're traveling to Buffalo. I just can't seem to get that game. And whenever we go, that game's on. Ron from Raymond chimes back in. Fred's an idiot. I give up.
Well said.
I like how they're running the gamut. Paul's an idiot. Andy's a jerk. Fred's a jerk.
We'll take one more and then
everybody
we'll take
loves
a break.
Tom because he panders to the audience.
you got to know your audience, my friend. Hang on.
They don't know you, though.
That's true.
That's well said, Fred.
Why, I'm a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
Why, what did I ever do to you?
Nothing to me.
What did I ever do to anybody here?
Nothing on the air.
I've never done anything to anybody. people that aren't sports writer or radio folk have no idea what it's like to generate content on a daily basis, so keep up the good work. Since moving to Tallahassee, I haven't been able to connect with any Pats fans, so being able to tune in to you guys is like having a friend back home right here with me. Actually, informed opinions rather than knee-jerk fanboy reactions other than Fred. Keep blowing up Craig, Ken in Florida. Okay, with that, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
For the sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game. Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With a win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship tickets and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Recording for Corona Light Radio.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
I don't.
All right, we're back. PFW in progress. We're back.
There's having some audio issues with all the construction.
Web radio at patriots.com.
Gary's giving Fred the,
did it get wet?
The stare of death as he's talking about flatbread sandwiches.
Did that thing get wet? That looks like it cost probably $10,000.
You know, Craig, I was going to read your email, but since you screwed up me and Andy and you listen to this show more than anybody in the world, I'm not going to read it. He's blaming me for calling the Patriots cheaters. That was Andy Hart.
That was Andy Hart.
And Craig.
And Roger Goodell.
And Roger Goodell.
But by the way, just a quick thing from Craig's email. He believes they'll go 16-0. Just, you know, I wanted to get that out there so you knew.
That's why Craig and I always are in agreement on that.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Okay. Let's go. Where do you guys
Tom, did you watch the contender final last night?
No, I did
Rodney
not.
Harrison was in the
house. I just
saw
that a little while ago.
Rodney it was in there. Boston, right?
Yeah.
Now, did that guy with the funny boobs fight?
There's one guy on that show who's got funny, funny boobs.
I've never seen the show. I couldn't.
I haven't either, but the commercial shows it, and he's got, like, they're gross.
All right.
They're like a girl with really small boobs. All right. Just like the little.
Start talking about suckling on teats again.
I got an email that I'm pretty
only
sure.
Only when you do it first.
Pretty sure that Andy's going to like by just reading the.
Paul's an idiot.
Fire Paul.
Get after Andy's makes, he makes fun of he makes fun of all of us.
Oh,
but
good,
nice.
He said that defense didn't do anything. He said, what is it with you guys? That defense didn't do anything to bother Indy in the first half at all. That is just ridiculous. Perillo is more interested in his profile than he is having an intellectually honest discussion about this team. Same with the meat mutts Hart and Casale when they appear weekly, and when one of the city's biggest self promoters on ESPN radio. Sorry, sure. We actually make money for what we do. It's we should be ashamed of ourselves. God, what were we thinking? Last Friday was an embarrassment, and I am stunned that you're paid by the team to spend hours whining with a metrosexual egomaniac about how bad a person and motivator outside of game plans, a freaking joke, BB is, and how the fans need to stop whining, even when national observers have noted how the officiating. How bad the officiating? Just shut
we
up.
We all agree the officiating was bad. We all agree.
What did we do last Friday?
I don't know.
But you know what? On Felger's show?
You know apparently. What, though, Andy? This douchebag will be listening this Friday, too, because that's we own you.
But the other part, I'm just going to go.
We own them because they'll still listen to us.
I want to go back to the Patriots defense thing, the 4-2-5. I don't just make things up, okay? I talk to the players after the game, and I ask them what the difference is between the halves were, and if they had Vince Wilfork, Ellis Hobbs, Richard Seymour, they all said, look, we didn't catch them by surprise. They handled it very well. We had to make some adjustments in the second half and get things straightened out. That's why Joseph Addai ran for 90 yards in one half and less than 30 in the other half.
And they had a lead, so there's no reason why he wouldn't have.
So, bottom line, the Colts moved the ball up and down the field. They got in the red zone. When now you're facing a red zone defense, not a 4-2-5, the Patriots came up with the big plays and the big stops. That's why instead of 21 points, it was only 13. There's a big difference there. It could have been a lot worse.
Don't worry, listeners. I'll keep them honest.
This is a heated show.
I'm going on with passion. Week. But it's not like you just make stuff up. You talk to the players and you get their opinions on how the game unfolded, and then you formulate your opinions based on what they say. I'm just going by what guys like Wilfork was very good about it. Well, look, I asked him.
It was his birthday, you know. That's why he was so happy.
I asked him, was there any point where you kind of sit there and It's a different kind of a game plan, and you wonder, why are we not just doing what we normally do and we have success with it? He goes, yeah, that runs through your mind. But we have faith in what Belichick does, that he's going to put us in the positions to make plays, and that's what they did. They stuck with it. They made adjustments, and they won.
Paul, you say something that I don't think people realize. A lot of times they think we're just talking. I think they forget that we talk to players, we talk to different people, and sometimes that forms our opinion for. Sometimes we can't say, "Hey, so and so told us." We talk.
You mean like when people are wondering why they haven't signed Corey Dillon, and then the head coach comes out and says that's not really in our plans,
right?
But you know, we were idiots when we said that last week. But now that Bill Belichick said it,
We are idiots. There's no doubt about it. But one thing I said to Allison the other night, we're talking, and I said, you know, one thing the fans don't do very well, they don't read between the lines. They're so eager to jump down everyone's throat, they can't even tell when a journalist or somebody on the radio is trying to say something to give them information. They don't pick up on it.
Right.
And don't be so quick to. If we're saying something, we probably, you know, we got a little information from someone.
Unless it's Fred or Felger.
And generally, when we say
Fred never gets information.
Generally, when something's coming out of nowhere, one of us will say, you know, look, I hadn't talked to anybody about this.
Yes.
You know, it's just my opinion or whatever. But
we use that to cover when we have talked to somebody. So you should listen to those too.
No one knows this team that well. I'm just saying that because Bill Belichick does an amazing job of keeping the information in-house. So nobody knows this team that well.
Better than us.
I thought he was going. But
no, I'm saying
that would have been nice.
I'm saying basically these people might tell you they know everything that's going on, but they don't.
But we do. Scott from Washington. Oh, by the way, the emailer that I just stopped reading, he did say down the line that you laugh at everything before you even get the sentence out. So
that's what he does.
I do.
Felger makes fun of him for that all the time.
I find myself funny.
So he says, it's still not clear on why Adalys Thomas was on the sideline so much during the Colts game. Was it due to injury? Was it just a factor of scheme? Should we be concerned that this was a major offseason addition that isn't working out that well? Thanks for your thoughts on this. And that's Scott from Washington.
He's hurt.
I'm going to go with injury. But again, that's an opinion.
And another opinion I have,
Paul. I think he's slowed down. He's been slowed down by injury.
Yes.
Well, there's no question he's battled something. Whether that's the specific reason or not, we don't know. But the other theory I have, Paul, remember your we won't bring up specific things you've written, but remember there was issues in the past here with players failing the conditioning run, players being injured, and all the players being lumped together?
Yes.
Jogging and training camp. And we know for a fact that some players were irritated being lumped in with the guys who failed the conditioning run who may have been hurt.
Right.
My question is there a chance that Adalys Thomas's perceived irritation post-game was due to the fact that he's hurt, and yet no one knows he's hurt, and it looks like the $30 million addition to the team brought in to stop the Colts wasn't part of the game plan against the Colts?
I think that's a possibility. I
haven't talked to anyone, so I don't know
didn't
this.
I didn't actually hear Adalys Thomas in person.
I didn't either, but he gave me a death glare.
Well,
like,
he said you'd have to ask Bill.
No, I read the quotes, but some people have said that it wasn't said with any anger.
Right.
And other people have said a clearly irked Thomas. So I don't know how two people can read so differently. Now, the quotes on paper read
Every time
as
I've
if,
ever talked to him, he seemed clearly irked.
The quotes on paper read as if
one,
there was some
one
anger.
Account was from the Globe and the other was from the Herald.
I'm not going to cast aspersions on anybody.
Yes.
but you might have something with that.
All right, Gary this is a Gary. This is Gary Hatch. I know you love the show. You email in a lot, but this is a funny email that I just have to read by his little comments. He wants to look at the Patriots and Colts schedules the remaining way, and then he leaves. Wants to know which one's tougher, and he leaves comments after every team. So here's the Patriots: Buffalo, getting better. Philadelphia, they still have McNabb. Baltimore.
That's their problem.
Now, this is the best one. Baltimore, at Baltimore, defense not bad. Okay, now, keep that in mind. Pitt, pretty good. Jets, bad. Miami, worse. Giants, very good. Now, here's the Colts. San Diego, very good. KC, good. Atlanta, bad. Jacksonville, no quarterback. Baltimore, not good defense this time. See above. No quarterback. Oakland, bad. Houston, okay. Tennessee, are they for real? Not sure. So the Giants are very good, and the Eagles still have McNabb.
Philadelphia still has McNabb, but we're not sure if the 6-2 Titans are any good.
That's good stuff.
Listen, this is what I'm going to say. If the Patriots go undefeated, they earned it because they'd have beaten the Colts.
It's a good schedule. Patriots played a good schedule.
They'd have beaten the Colts probably twice, right? They'd have beaten the Chargers, who's going to win the AFC.
Maybe twice.
Right.
Or if not them, Pittsburgh twice.
Who's going to win their division. Dallas or the Giants will win the East, but they'll have beaten both of them. So basically they're beating all of the NFC's pretty good teams because they're playing the East. So this is no joke schedule. If the Patriots go undefeated, they've earned it this year.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that the Patriots schedule has been daunting. Maybe not the most difficult schedule in the league, but a tough one, I think.
Well, it's pretty close because we've all agreed there's not a lot of good teams that
right.
you can throw
and
on
and they've played all the ones that we consider good, Pittsburgh and Indy.
Right, or will. Yeah. Haven't played Tennessee, though.
That's true. But I put those slightly a notch below.
Should I go on the record? What did you find so much humor in earlier? That
you said you didn't give them a chance in hell of beating Pittsburgh on a neutral field.
Tennessee
doesn't have a chance in hell, you said, of beating Pittsburgh on a neutral field.
Yeah, I want that on the record.
Okay, good.
Doesn't matter. We all found right. out they don't play.
Plus, they already know we're idiots anyway.
James says, hey, guys, and Tom. What does that mean?
Is James in Indiana?
James in England checking in.
Oh.
I just wondered how you think the Patriots have done in their last two drafts. I must admit, I don't think we have done well at all. Now, I admit it is early to comment on Merriweather, but I expect to see more out of our first-rounders than we have. Also, what do you think Bill would do with our top three draft pick? Trade down or pick early?
Trade down.
So what do you think about the last
one?
I think
he's going to pick it. I really do.
We have a lot of emails here that I probably won't get to, and they're complaining about Chad Jackson and Lawrence Maroney. They're taking my Maroney thing a little bit further. A lot of people are upset with Maroney. He's not getting the job done. Then we got a few Chad Jacksons in here. He hasn't done anything.
Is he going to get activated today?
Sure.
Chad Jackson, you think?
Sure. Don't they have until next week now?
No.
No.
Oh, really?
21-day window ends today,
oh, okay.
4 o'clock.
We'll have something.
What do you guys think? Are these a lot of people seem to be upset over the last couple of drafts here. What are your assessments of those drafts right now?
Fred is nodding while yawning.
No, it's a little disappointing. You can't, you know, even with Merriweather, yeah, it's a little early, but, yeah, you were hoping that
Merriweather's been disappointing.
Rashad Baker's playing.
Chad Jackson's obviously a disappointment.
Well, but how much?
You know,
Maroney, you have a larger sampling now. You're into the second year. Maybe.
I'm disappointed I don't have a sampling.
If Merriweather simply wasn't
his ACL.
Well, I'm just saying it's still disappointing. Now, I'm not saying he's a bust. Okay. I'm just saying I wish I could see more of him. Maroney, I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed. This is his time to step up.
I just find it so laughable. And I'm disappointed as well. Don't get me wrong. But he's got 4.7 yards a carry. Is something Patriots teams in the past would have killed to see.
But it's a little disappointing that in the second half, and this is my speculation, they didn't feel confident putting him in there because of the pass rush, and they had to put in Falk.
Could be.
I mean, I'd love to see. I'd love to see Maroney running those.
But isn't part of that just the scheme that they went with, the game plan that they went with down the stretch?
Maybe, but I mean, I really think, you know, and again, I don't know, but I think that they had Falk in there to pick up the blitz,
but Falk is the third down back in that, you know, spread formation. That's his role. It's not necessarily because Maroney wasn't picking up the blitz in the first half. They say, oh, we got to get rid of him and put Falk in. I think that's kind of what they did as a plan in the second half.
I just think that at this point, I think
I'm not as disappointed.
You know, I would love it if they were at the point where they said, we got to get the ball in Maroney's hands. And obviously, that's not how they feel.
Right. No, I do think that there's some disappointment. Tom, I thought, mapped it out perfectly yesterday, and I agree with him. I think there's been opportunities to make big plays. That's what we thought we were going to see. We haven't seen them. But overall, I'm not overly disappointed. I don't think that the running game has been even a speckle of an emphasis on offense so far.
Nope.
And I think it's hard to just sit there and turn it on and turn it off.
I agree.
I'm disappointed there haven't been big plays. I agree with you guys.
Can I ask you a question?
Totally agree.
Here's the one thing, though. I watched the Cowboy game yesterday, and every time Barber breaks the line, I jump out of my seat, and I'm like, come on, let's go, baby, because you know that something's going to happen. Now, in Minnesota...
This is where I make fun of you.
But, may or may not have a tattoo in his arm.
But in Minnesota, like Maroney... Like right. That's the point. That's where I'm a little disappointed is when Maroney breaks through the line... Take off. You know, like, where's the big play? That's I'm not saying, hey, 4.7 yards, that's good. Like you said,
but he's
yesterday,
not as good as the numbers.
But still, you look at 4.7, you can't complain about that. And the other thing I'll say is I have a problem when Sammy Morris comes in and looks better than you in the running game. Let's be honest. He's
Sammy Morris.
He's Sammy Morris.
Now, I have two questions for you guys. Fred, you can answer too. Did you think Lawrence Maroney was going to be special?
Yeah,
in terms of 1,500-yard back, you know, not necessarily Adrian Peterson, what he's doing right now, but
I believe
franchise, quote-unquote, back.
We were all
back.
Saying over on the 1,300 yards this year and 10 touchdowns.
So now I thought
there been a running back who was given opportunities, plenty of opportunities, not buried on a bench, didn't tear his ACL, any of those, who a year and a half, 2 years into his career was not really living up to the hype and then suddenly became special?
I would say... Well, what do you mean by special?
Thomas
Jones would be the thing I would say. Is he was considered a real bust, much bigger than Maroney.
Oh, yeah. He was number 7 pick.
But where was he drafted?
Number 7 pick?
No, where?
Arizona.
That's what I thought. I mean, the room to work should never get any better than the offense he's on right now.
That's the thing.
I'm just trying to find guys that
but
examples
he had,
of.
He's had half the carries.
No, but he's had chances to make plays.
Oh, I agree. And
I'm trying to find examples of, you know, it happens with a quarter, it takes time to develop, but has there been a running back given the opportunity early that didn't become special till late? Because you just all said, you know, you thought he was going to be kind of special.
You know, I think you could use Priest Holmes as an example.
I don't know his early career numbers. I mean,
he did very little
Jamal Lewis backed up.
But he wasn't drafted.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what his opportunity.
Well, I'm just talking about as a great back, you know. That.
No, I didn't know if you meant like if you were a first round draft pick or not. Did you have to be a first round draft?
No,
pick?
I'm, oh. Well, if you thought the guy was going to be special,
a highly touted running.
No,
back, yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't a highly touted running back coming out of college.
I just wonder what that says.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being too easy on him. I don't know. I like I said, I can't really disagree with any of these.
I still see it in him. I'm just wondering why.
See, I see it in him at times, too. That's why I'm wondering, where is it? Like, when are we going to see it?
I said yesterday, I think he sees it in
him,
too.
To
he
me,
comes out early in the game and runs hard and then starts to hit big plays.
For the Patriots, it's weird because we're not talking about your average offense here.
Right.
There's been no, like, commitment to him out there. And because
know,
they don't need to.
He's supposed to be the big play guy, isn't he? He should be able to hit a big play every now and then.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Imagine what his average would be if you mixed in two 45, 50-yard
runs. I thought as far as seeing the field, he had one of his better days on
his
Sunday.
His first half, he was good. I think
yeah,
he played well.
I think he was very good in the first half.
Yeah.
I thought there's limited opportunities in the second half. He didn't run well.
Right. But
it was
but
a 6 for
11
or something.
That's the point. He had very limited opportunities. How many times did he rush in the second half?
Six,
I think.
For 11 or 9.
I think it's a bit of a cop-out, though. Because I think the Colts defense was getting tired in the second half.
Right.
And if you said, well, he had 6 rushes for 30 yards, maybe you say, well, he didn't have the attempts to get to the 100.
I mean, I know he's not.
But,
I know he's not Larry
successful.
Johnson or LaDainian Tomlinson, but if this was one of those teams and those guys only had 6 rushes in the second half, no matter what the score would be like, what are they doing? They got to get that guy out there.
It's not only a difference in talent, it's a whole different style
no,
of offense,
yeah.
too. I mean, there's no way.
I think when we saw Maroney in his first preseason, that when he got in there and he showed that special, and we were all just so excited, and we kind of haven't seen it since. We've seen glimpses in Cincinnati and in Green Bay.
I'm
not giving up on
him.
Before
I get killed here,
no,
I still like the guy, and I
haven't given up
great.
On him either. My only point is up until today, right now, I'm a little disappointed.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm not saying he's a bust.
Yeah.
Mike in Tampa is on the phone. Mike.
What's up, fella?
What's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Speaking of running, I can think of one running back that comes to mind that started out slow, and that was Tiki Barber. But they tried to put too much weight on him coming out of college, and they were talking about getting rid of him his first couple of years.
Yep,
and at the Giants, and then he just came on But I think at the beginning they tried to put too much weight on him because he was small. Mm-hmm. And with Maroney, the only thing that I see, he's not consistent. He doesn't run hard. It seems like when he gets in the against good teams, it doesn't seem like he runs as hard. Like the week before against the Redskins, he was hitting the hole like crazy. I was like, oh, man. You know, I'm like, man, he's getting ready to play the Colts, man. If he runs like that, we're going to have problems with him. And then against the Colts, he just didn't hit the hole like he did against the Redskins. If he runs like he does against the Redskins, I mean, every game, you guys, I'm pretty sure you'd be loving it. But it just seems like he doesn't, I don't know, maybe he's hurt. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's hurt.
I brought that up yesterday about the second halves, and maybe that's why he hasn't been used as much in the second. In the first game, we all said, well, it made sense. They had the big lead against Miami. He's coming off the injury, give him a little extra time to rest. But now he's basically not played anywhere near as much in the second half as he has in any of the games in the first half. I wonder if maybe he's having a hard time staying loose during games. You know,
was he up and down like this last year? I remember when he first started rushing the ball at the beginning of the year, he was running damn good. And towards the end of the season,
he was up and down.
He just fell off.
He was a little bit up and down, and then at the end of the year, he was dinged up. Came back probably a little too quickly from the injury and was never the same guy. I mean, it's been since Cincinnati last year where we saw the really great, you know, everybody made a big deal about it, the stiff arm, running through
the
people,
future
all
is
of
here.
It.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you this question. You're talking about him kind of fading off in the second half. Now, in college, he had his 40 carry games, no doubt about it, but he also has always had someone else.
Right.
So he's never taken the consistent pounding of, say, like a Mike Hart. Could that be something that he gets pounded on early in the game and he's not rotating? Could that be something where he kind of wears down at the end of a season at the second half of a game?
Maybe. Could be.
But the only thing though, generally the guys come out of college that split time, they generally have better careers than the ones that have all the carries. You look at Priest Holmes and Ricky Williams, both of them split at Texas. Warrick Dunn, he split carries with the little boy, I can't remember his name now. He didn't go. Who else split? A lot of guys split carries.
Well, a lot of guys do it, but I'm just saying, I'm wondering if it's taking a toll on his body that he's not necessarily used to. Because I'll tell you what, Minnesota, their schedule every year, the beginning of the season, they usually play four cupcakes, and Maroney would get 260 yards, and he wouldn't get hit a lot. So you're taking four games there that he don't really play tough defenses, and then you're splitting carries throughout the rest of the season. Maybe he's just not used to taking that kind of pounding. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of why it would be that he kind of fades in the second half in the second part of the season.
Last year I thought it was just because he was a rookie, because all the rookies run into him.
Yeah,
I mean, Warrick Dunn had that same problem his rookie year. He was came out like gangbusters, and you saw a little bit from a die last year when they all hit around about that ninth, tenth game. They just run out of gas. But maybe he's got the Cadillac. We're going through this down here in Tampa, too, with Cadillac Williams. For some reason, when they're at the end of their runs and finishing them, they're taking too much punishment. They're taking too much of the brunt of the hit. If you look at, like, the real good runners, they don't, at the last minute, they know how to, you know, get real low,
and
it's a glancing blow. Cadillac Williams, he's taking too much of the brunt of the hit, and maybe that's what's happening to Maroney.
Maybe where, that was when he came out of college. They said that he takes a lot of hits.
Yeah,
that was one of the negatives.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, because those guys don't last long at all.
Nope.
If they don't know how to avoid that hit at the last minute, that real pounding blow, because
when you run that way, you better be a freak like Peterson or Eric Dickerson. That if you're not gonna, because those guys, they'll run over you, but they're so fast, it's hard to hit Adrian Peterson. You can't see him.
Oh man! Matter of fact, I watched NFL Network last night. I mean, the replay of that game. Man, I'm so glad the coach don't have to play Minnesota.
Hey, Mike, what do we need to do to get you to become a Patriots fan? I mean, come on, forget about the Colts.
Well, I'm more of a Dungy fan than a Colts fan.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So we need to get Dungy over to the Patriots.
But believe it or not, I root kind of for everybody. Like, I'm still rooting for the Patriots when they're not playing the Colts, because I want to see somebody go undefeated. But I don't want to beat the Colts. But
okay.
Actually, I was rooting for the Patriots against the Rams in that Super Bowl. because you guys were underdogs then.
Yeah, that's the last time that happened.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mike. We appreciate the call.
Right,
Mike,
tough,
take
Mike.
Care. All right. One interesting email here we should probably get to. Mike from Columbus. He said, I caught a few seconds of entertainment tonight last night and thought you guys might be interested to know that Jessica Simpson said that she was looking for a Boston guy. According to her, Boston guys are very loyal, which makes them attractive. I thought it might be funny to hear you guys figure out how you could convince her of your loyalty while at the same time freeing yourselves from your current commitments. Well, mine would be, see you later, Allison, and enjoy paying for the house.
And boy, would I be loyal to Jessica Simpson.
I'd dump Allison in a second for Jessica Simpson. No problem.
Fred would have the best shot. He's the most loyal.
She's looking for a Boston guy.
What does that mean? Boston guys are loyal. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I think her logic beyond that was really flawed. She said Boston guys are the closest to Southern guys. And I can't think of two more opposite things than a New England guy to her.
Yeah.
I'll be whatever she wants me to be.
Oh, absolutely. I can conform.
Okay, Frederick is, I think he's a new one.
No, he's from Montreal.
Oh, okay. He says, hi, guys. He says, I have an idea to simplify.
Fred remembers all the Freds.
I have an idea how to simplify the Thursday picks. Don't bother asking Fred. He just picks the favorite to win and the underdog to cover. Don't bother asking Eric. Just flip a coin. Ask Andy.
Eric's winning.
Ask Andy to pick a winner put down the same team against the spread. Tom and Paul look more complicated, but it's actually just a simple formula to apply. Take the spread, add the amount of people on the injury report, subtract by the underdog's quarterback rating the week before, multiply by the amount of time lost in traffic coming into Foxborough that morning, and divide by 57.3 for AFC teams or 34.6 for NFC teams.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Just trying to see if your struggles in the second half of the Thursday show, just trying to ease your struggles in the second half of the Thursday show.
We don't struggle.
I was going to say, I didn't know we struggled that badly, but that's pretty funny.
Except when we picked a game that didn't exist. That was one time.
I picked the Eagles to beat the Cowboys. How's that picking the favorite?
He gets all defensive.
That
was just dumb.
The one underdog he picked this week.
Gary, he keeps asking about Ricky. I think he's talking about Ricky Williams. He said, I saw they cut Rivers. Are they making room for someone? Some inside info here?
Yes, Chad Jackson or Eddie Jackson.
Right.
One of those two guys.
Or Troy Brown.
Well, yeah, it could be Troy Brown, too, but I would doubt that he would get activated immediately.
No, but it could be. It's more likely than Ricky Williams.
It is a possibility, but the window for the practice ends today for Chad and Eddie Jackson. They had a 21-day window to practice. That expires at 4 p.m.
So even if they're not practicing?
Yes, Fred.
Okay.
It's the weeks.
I understand. Weeks of practice, though, isn't it?
No, it's weeks.
It's weeks.
Okay. Calendar
21
weeks.
Days from
the
when
calendar.
You,
it has nothing to do with
right,
practice.
It's 21 right. days from when you start practicing.
Okay.
And they could be practicing. Bill gave him the day off.
Right. I'll tell you one thing. If I ever need a contract drafted, that's the man who's writing it right there. I've never seen more language. And now, is it practice? Is it we?
What do you mean by practice?
Let's put it this way, Tom. He's learned well.
Yeah.
He's learned well.
What do you mean by weeks? Sean.
Semantics are very big.
What do you mean by contract? Is it an agreement?
Sean from Marlborough, New Hampshire. He says, I have a question about the poor tackling this year. It has been an ongoing problem. The members of the team have addressed it every Monday on EEI's morning show. They admit it's a problem and needs to be fixed. What does it take to fix then? We know that this team is well coached and fundamentals should be covered. Would you explain why the basic important factors seem to be a constant problem?
Because tackling's hard to practice, first of all. They don't do a lot of it. They've struggled over the years at different times. I think a lot of NFL teams struggle with tackling because it's not like high school. They're not doing a ton of break-off tackling and all these different tackling drills. And you see, you know, it's hard to practice something when you're not going full speed. They can work on their rabbit drills, their pursuit drills, running in their lanes to the football. But it's different when you get on the football field and you're playing an opponent like Joseph Addai, who's pretty good, looking to make you miss, and it's live. And things are just flying around full speed, and it's whatever you need to do, and it just happens. I mean, there's sometimes that you get into funks tackling-wise, and you have bad plays where Rodney Harrison's giving Randall Gay a shove in the back, and that takes him out of the play, but it also takes Vrabel and Harrison out of the play at the same time. I think it happens sometime, and I think it's hard to correct.
Okay. Well, R.J. Gibbs.
Am I the only one with an opinion on that?
what am I going to say? I agree with you.
R.J. Gibbs
it's a hard
with
thing to practice.
Could have.
segueing into our daily shot at Chris Ferreira coming up.
Nice.
He said, "What's up, guys? I have to admit that the Colts D was much better than I expected. The game overall, though, makes me wonder what the outcome would have been if Belichick's offensive game plan was similar to those played earlier in the season. The way he played it this time made me nervous to watch because of how much bending we did, but evidently he made the right call. What do you guys think would have happened if it was an all-out air attack? I know it's hard to say because of the factors involved, but what do you think he learned from this game, and how will he use it in the playoffs? Also, the podcast was so low yesterday that I couldn't hear it in my car with the windows open. In fact, even when I closed them, it was hard to hear. I know it's your podcast specifically and not my settings or iPod because the songs I have programmed were loud as hell. Tell Chris Ferreira to keep up the good work, please." And that's R.J. Gibbs, who can't hear us on the podcast because Chris Ferreira is claiming nothing's wrong.
To be fair, his car windows are down on the highway, I'm guessing, and it does get a little loud.
He can hear his songs.
Yeah, let's blame Chris.
I'm all for it. Chris, I think the outcome would have been
you're on thin ice, buddy.
Would have been different in the negative if they had gone with an all-out air attack.
Could be.
I think they would have turned the ball over a few times in the
first
half.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
Brady could be in a hospital bed right now.
If you're playing Peyton Manning, you can't forget that, you know?
But I'm just talking about going against their defense. The way that Mathis and Freeney dominated the tackles, I think they would have been in trouble.
Fred is like the Bill Belichick of this show. You know how the players say Bill simplifies it to one thing? Fred, simple. You're playing Peyton Manning. You can't forget that. Just move on.
Okay. Apparently, a lot of people listening to the Mike Felger show lately.
Uh-oh.
When the Muscle Twins were on, this was from Brett.
Oh, he's first on the internet, too, right?
First of all, it's Hans and Franz. Get the name. I think it's very disrespectful to you guys. It's Hans and Franz.
When the Muscle Twins were on Felger claimed that Belichick was a poor motivational coach. As a motivator, he's a disaster. He's weird, awkward, terrible. And that's the only reason the players listen to him is game plans. That's what Felger said. I know Hart agreed, not sure about Casale. Do you really think this is true?
Did you
there
agree
was a lot
that?
Of evidence to the contrary.
Oh,
I don't see how this could be true.
You don't think he motivates them?
I don't know.
I think he motivates them, but I don't think it's in the prototypical rah-rah motivational style.
So
I think
he motivates them, period.
Because they want to win. He motivates them through trust, experience,
proven. Fred, before you get
proven.
All bent out of
fear.
Shape, can I kind of put this in context
a
little bit? We were talking about how some coaches are good talking to the players, like maybe a Tony Dungy.
Right.
And you have to admit this. When Belichick talks to people, he's kind of awkward most of the time. That's not his thing.
But he's not like that when he's with the players.
Okay, but I'm just saying,
okay.
like that type of coaching, he motivates using different tactics than I'm Mr. Nice Guy, let's be buddies.
Sure,
That was kind of what we were talking
about. They're not holding hands singing Kumbaya.
No. So
I think he motivates, like Phil Simms talked about, what Bill said to Phil Simms. Yeah, I think that fear is a big part of his motivation. And
but see, I don't.
I think that's.
I buy that with some players. I don't buy it with all.
I think that they have total confidence in what Bill's going to do for them in terms of his game plans, and that is a major motivating factor.
That's what I think, because I don't think Ty Warren fears him. I don't think Vince Wilfork fears him. I think the handful of players that fear him are the guys that aren't established, that are fighting for jobs type thing. I think there's a lot of guys that couldn't fear him, don't fear him at all weekly, season to season, for the most part.
Okay, now the second part of his email I don't get. He said, "You guys also spent a lot of time talking about how disliked the guy is. It's just odd that you guys work for the same company as Belichick, and he's a pretty important guy in the organization. Why is this okay? I am not talking about objective analysis. I'm talking about joyously recounting how many people don't like the coach. It's honestly very odd. We were just being real.
Factual.
People don't like him. I mean, Fred, do people like Belichick?
People that don't know him.
But in the league, we were talking about in the league.
Forget
We were talking about Polian being hated and Belichick. Those two people are hated in the league, aren't they?
Well, I think a lot of coaches don't like him.
Right.
Right.
That was
because he makes them look bad.
I'm not asking you why.
It's jealousy.
I'm just asking you if that's the case.
Don't you think Belichick and Polian are two universally hated guys in the league?
Or
universally
majority.
Hated?
Majority.
I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember joyously recounting,
I think when you get away from winning, which is really how both of them want to be judged, I think that they have a negative connotation.
And just so you know, I think Belichick wasn't exactly the most popular guy in the NFL, you know, before he came here. So
you mean,
like, to just
Cleveland?
To just, yeah, to, yeah. Well, the way he acts.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
So to just say it's because they're
stuff.
Jealous and they right. and he wins, I don't think that.
A
I think that's
it, a lot of
I think
it
that's,
is jealousy.
I think,
petty jealousy.
I think that's part of it now, but I think he was already disliked when he came here. Is what I'm saying.
He's smart.
Look, we had never had. We don't have any
what
problems
does that have
with
to do
this.
He forces other coaches to work harder, and they don't like that.
Okay, but they don't like him.
To say that's why they don't like him.
It's like
I think
the
is
union
ridiculous.
Guys. You know, oh, don't put that light bulb in because you know that's you got to get the light bulb guy to put that in. You're going to make us look bad. You're working harder than us.
Yeah, that's why they don't like him. Yeah,
and
yeah.
we didn't say
it's
we
jealousy.
Didn't like him. We said people don't like him. Other people.
A lot of it is jealousy.
That's why we get along so well. None of us works hard. we all stay on a level playing field.
Todd says, don't read this on the air. That guy was right. The podcast volume was great all last week, but yesterday it was terribly low.
Thanks, Chris.
Something wrong yesterday?
Don't read this on the air.
Chris Ferreira, fix it.
I'm about done. I don't really feel like doing anything in it, so why don't you guys talk about something? No, I got a ton of them. I'm a little bored.
Well, why don't you throw a topic
Fred
out?
Has given me a headache. This is the first time Fred's really annoyed me on the show, I think, in 3 years. He's really bothered me. You need to be the host, Fred.
He's entertained me today when I just can't get past the Super Bowl is not going to be highly rated this year.
That's not what I said. Okay, so you can misconstrue what I said.
You said the AFC title game would have higher ratings.
Well, I'm wrong on that, but...
You're right. In an hour, but, you're already wrong.
What I'm disagreeing is
perspective.
That this is going to be the highest-rated Super Bowl ever if the Patriots
I can't wait till February 5th, 6th, 7th, whatever day it is when Tom shoves that paper of ratings in your face.
Okay. And
then you'll know what he'll say.
You know what?
He'll say, now, what do you mean by right. it'll be no, some kind
well,
of
what are they using here? You know those ratings
unlike,
are flawed.
Unlike
don't
you guys, I'll be man enough to say I was wrong.
Well, I will.
You know what?
I definitely will.
There's no chance.
I will say that. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong.
I'm telling you right now.
When was the last time you admitted you were wrong?
You will come up.
I'm not wrong a lot, Andy. What can I tell you?
You will come up with something. About the flawed ratings or
right. the lines from
Anchorman. There's more households that have that thing
you know,
now.
It was an unseasonably
Sling
cold
well,
day.
We're not including the serious listeners.
Right.
Yeah.
It was an unseasonably cold day and more people were in the house because it
Dad was
a snowstorm.
The leaves.
Well, you'll come up with something.
If there's some reason, I will come up right, with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt that it'll be good because you have a lot of time to think of it.
Yes, you do have plenty of time to prepare that excuse.
Where's that idiot John Rook?
Is he here? Probably in his mom's basement.
Okay, Stripper says, at halftime of the Pats-Colts game, Shannon Sharp ripped on the old, slow Patriots defense. Well, shouldn't he shut up after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Patriots defense
played outstanding in the second half, so he should have.
Although they did look old and slow chasing Joseph Addai on that play.
No, but I'm saying in the second half.
No, I know.
It was night and day,
but
and he should have shut up.
If he said it at halftime, the last thing he had in his mind was a 73-yard touchdown run by Joseph Addai when he made the Patriots look like old, slow, poor tacklers. Right? So
biggest problem on that play
sort
was,
of okay
was Rodney knocking Randall Gay down,
right.
by the way.
It was old school.
Took them both out.
Who did it? It was Ty Law and somebody before? About
oh, it was
4 years
Tabucky
ago?
Jones.
Tabucky Jones?
Right. Took out Ty Law.
That's right.
Ooh, Rodney, you don't want to be aligned with Tabucky Jones too often in describing your
well,
plays.
Let's put it this way. Tabucky Jones never had a game like Rodney had on Sunday.
That's true.
Okay, his best game of the season? Rodney?
By
Not
far,
even,
yeah.
By one of his best games of his career, I think.
Steven says, I would like to really know on the tape, did Goodell ever get to see it? And if Goodell did see it, was there information that the signals that were showing on the tape to see the I don't know what this means. Were there information that the signals were showing on the, they? I think that's supposed to be there were showing on the tape were to see play calling.
We don't know.
And about Shula, I think it was 1992 or 1975 that Shula ran up the score on the Patriots. No coach on any team is perfect.
Wait, 92 or 75?
72
well,
or 75.
Did you get that email today? Very interesting that the Miami Dolphins were fined a first-round pick when they got Shula for tampering. With the Colts.
Okay.
So it's pretty ironic that he's talking about, you know, no asterisk, and an asterisk next to the Patriots when the Dolphins got him by cheating.
Yeah, that is true.
You know?
I didn't even think of that, Fred.
He wouldn't have been on that team
I'll
if
be
they
honest
had
with
tampered.
You, I didn't even know about it.
Yeah,
but
they,
that's how
they,
we got our coach,
they
so
talk,
I have no
they talk
I
about
say,
it on the American
Patriots
game.
Done that a few times?
Now Steven is telling us where scouts sit. Scouts don't sit in the stands just for scouting most of the time.
Stands.
They're trying to see play calling to get the team for the next game.
Who said they sit in the stands?
Don't no sit in stands. The stands. I don't know.
They
what
sit in the press box. I talked to
we
a
see
well,
them.
Well, wait a minute. For college, they might. I don't know. Maybe in some
I'm talking about at our games and our press box. We had a caller from Toronto earlier who was talking about
baseball scouts sitting in the stands.
Talking about Bill Polian, and you know, he couldn't understand why he was in the press box, and we're talking about we're talking about sometimes we were ripping Polian, Fred. Relax. We took care of it for you. Right.
But
right?
Is Steven talking about baseball because baseball scouts sit in the stands?
No, we were talking about who was in. Man, he was asking
about
Bill Polian was here. And
no, I know what we were talking about. I'm wondering what I think he might be confusing baseball.
Oh, maybe, but no one was talking about baseball.
Okay,
so
we
were talking to a guy from baseball who was
asking about Scott Pioli,
but he kept saying what baseball teams do,
right.
Who's in where, and I think this guy might have gotten confused.
Well, he could have been, but.
Tom's giving you the wave off.
Yeah, we're getting the wave off.
John in Rhode Island is on the phone. John, what's going on?
John, first time caller.
What up, bitches?
Hey, what's up? Hey, Texas has that easy Texas Tech system, as you put it.
That's right, baby. That's right. The system. System's going down and going down hard this weekend.
All right. What do you got going this bye week?
By the way, baseball scouts do sit in the stands because they try to look at movement of pitches. But everybody else that I know of in terms of scouts, they sit in the press box.
Right.
Everybody. I mean, baseball is the only sport I think that actually sits in the stands. I'm sure it's just to watch pitches and things along those lines. And
because they have they're special anyway.
Baseball. Well, yeah, exactly.
It's the summer
elitist.
That's right.
To drink beer while they're out there.
That's exactly right. So a lot more shoeless stuff today, you think?
Early and then
actually Cameragate.
Then Andy started riling everyone up.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I do find, and I think it's kind of interesting, you guys just brought up the fact that, and this is something that I was reading about a little bit late yesterday, was that, far be it from Don Shula to cast, stones, because here's a guy that wouldn't even had his job with Miami had, a draft pick not been in order. So
we just talked about that. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I find it highly ironic. I think he's probably suffering from CRS.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in that regard, I'm not so sure that I put a whole lot of – I mean, he's going to –
I don't know what that is.
Well, as somebody said yesterday, he's probably been sniffing his own depends too much.
Well, that might very well be true. I mean, quite frankly
– Wasn't that you who said it?
I also don't think that he's really thinking this whole thing through because, he has a restaurant in Providence.
Right.
So I can't imagine too many Patriots fans now wanting to frequent this place.
Yeah,
you know,
some guys from Federal Hill might – have something to say about that.
They might go down there with a tie rod and say, where is the old man? Yeah.
Not at that Shula's.
I don't think he's actually at the Shula's.
I think
they just probably not. No. But don't you kind of get the sense, though, that this is really, much ado about nothing?
It always is.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's great stuff.
Well, it's good. It's good conversation fodder. But, the fact is that, and I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, the fact is that he wouldn't have even brought it up had he not been asked the question. And if he wasn't a little bit nervous about the eventuality of having to share, the limelight, so to speak, because right now they're the only team that's ever done this, if he weren't nervous about it, I don't think he would have given it 2 cents. I really don't. Mm. I think that's human nature. Human nature is to defend and make sure people understand what you did. And so you're going to be vocal about it. If you weren't worried about it, you wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, I don't know. How close is Shula with Jimmy Johnson? Do they talk?
Not that I know of.
No,
I don't think they have any ties whatsoever.
I don't think they're real close.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. So, I mean, I think it's kind of funny, in all honesty. I did read where Jim Mandich, who does a radio show.
Yeah,
down
we
at,
saw that. Yep.
Yeah, so where he said that, hey, by all means, let them come join the undefeated club or whatever. Right. That actually, even though I'm a little surprised it came from Mandich, I'm a little surprised that didn't come from some guy like Bonaconte or whatever. But I'm a little surprised because Mandich is, Mr. Homer when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. And but I'm actually pleasantly surprised that he said that because that's the right attitude to take here.
Sure.
So he's the John Rook of Miami Dolphins?
There you go, baby. That's right.
Although the Patriots will be 19-0 and they'll be 17-0. So.
All right.
True.
With that, this brings an end to another PFW in progress. We'll
Homerism
see you tomorrow.
Radio.
Take care.